Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And the following is an encore presentation of Sovereign Minds, first aired on July 12th of this year. If you hear phone numbers today, please don't call for the next 3 hours. The chat room, however, is open at KCNR1460.com, should you wish to contribute. But enjoy now an encore presentation, the best of Sovereign Minds on AM 1460 KCNR.
Sovereign Minds. Today is, what is today, July 12th, Sunday? Wow.
Yes, it is Sunday.
Time flies when you're having fun. Yeah, 2015, I think. And so, welcome to Sovereign Mind Radio. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again. We'd like to thank all of our sponsors throughout the United States. And we're going to have a special guest today, Stephanie Scruggs, and we'll have her on in a minute, I hope. I'm here in the studio with not my sister Linda, but Red Smith.
Good morning.
Good morning, Red. He's going to hold over from Sovereign Jefferson State of Mind. I'm sorry, Sovereign Minds. We're going to merge those two. It's going to be Jefferson State of Sovereign Minds here pretty soon. And so,
I think with the extra hour of airtime that we have, I think that's probably what we're looking at as a bridge between the two shows.
I think we're going to have to do that. And, you know, it just so happens my sister Linda's in Missouri visiting her son and her grandkids.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I think that's what we're going to end up doing is we're going to end up doing, I think, local guests after your show at 8 o'clock to 9 and from 9 to 10. I think we're going to end up doing local guests, you know, everything local.
Yeah, Shasta-centric.
Yeah, we'll call it the Shasta Lantern Power Hour or something. I don't know, but yeah, we want to start highlighting what's going on locally even more, and you know, talking about the local issues that are on the boilerplate that people are interested in. Speaking of which, oh yeah, we're in the studio with Bob Martin, but he's on the phone, so he's our trusted soundboard operator and all around great guy.
Mm-hmm. I think he's trying to get our guests ready to go here.
I think so. We are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. That's, again, 530-605-4567. All our shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds, or you can go to sovereignmind.ning.com, and you can get on the chat, look at the archives and the videos and everything we have there. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview, Destiny Fellowship, and they stand for Limited Government, Fiscal Responsibility, and Adherence to the Constitution.
And we've got Tim Pappas teaching the Constitution this Monday.
Wow, what a novel concept, those radical guys.
It's a fascinating document.
Yeah, it's funny how it's only a few pages long, and, you know, it's, you know, the light on the hill for freedom and conservative values and prosperity.
Yeah.
So did we get a hold of her, Bob?
Got a hold of her voicemail.
Oh, well, I guess we'll just lay out what we're going to do, and if we get her, we get her. If we don't, we don't. I just sent you a video. Can you cue that up on socialism, Bob, and then we'll go from there. But let's talk about our local issue to start with here with our local congressman. It seems that we've received some complaints.
Mm-hmm.
that we're just hammering on Doug LaMalfia too much. And you know, I don't care.
It doesn't bother me. You know, I was told I had two Air Force grandparents. And, you know, they had wonderful expressions like, if you're not catching flak, you're not over the target.
Well, that's it.
Things like that.
Well, and I kind of look at this. Okay, you know, let's look at Benedict Arnold for a second during the Revolutionary War. Hey, he was a hero. He got, I can't remember which battle it was, the Battle of Burnoing or whatever it is.
And Ticonderoga.
Ticonderoga, there you go, where he got shot on his horse, fought fiercely, won the day, and then he went over to the British side later on. So I guess they should have just ignored that part because he did something really good.
Mm-hmm.
That we should just give him a pass, you know, that he should be revered in history because even though he did go over to the British side later on, he was great in championing the rebel cause early.
Well, he was early, and you know, his treason cost the lives of many, many patriots.
Almost the war. If Washington hadn't have picked up on what he was doing at West Point, so. You know, the fact that you do some good things, and we're not saying that Mr. LaMalfa has done nothing good, because if he did nothing good, who would vote for him? How do you stay in office where you alienate everyone? Okay? But if you do some things good, but you still go over to the other side, if you turn to the dark side for Britain, are you still a hero?
No.
No, so you have to call the truth on both sides. You know, you can't just selectively go, oh, I like this part, so we'll ignore this part. That's not the truth. That's not the truth of the whole matter.
That's being a groupie.
That's being a political...
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for? I was maybe pundit, a political prostitute, I guess? A party prostitute. So in other words, the only time I recognize the congressman is when he's doing something good for the Republican Party and good for the people, but I will completely ignore anything he does contrary to freedom and our Constitution.
Well, I'll be honest. I don't want my congressman representing the Republican Party. I want him representing me.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah. So it's just the Republican Party that we're worried about. We're not worried about principles. In other words, you know, we get, well, you should do something better. Okay, well, okay. Why don't we vote no on the TPA instead of going on with the party line and letting Boehner dictate the terms of, oh, gee, we might lose a committee seat. Okay, so in other words, you'll put principle. At what point in time does your sacrificing of your principles constitute going to the other side?
Well, there's a lot to be said for that. I mean, there was 40 people that stood on their principles.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know, when you look back at the Revolutionary War, 5% of the colonists went out to fight the British army. The old saying was the sun never set on the British on the English Empire because it was the most powerful army in the history of the world at that point. They had never been defeated.
Never, and they controlled pretty much the planet.
So we should have just said, hey, you know. We got to go along with the program, whatever the king says. You know, if we have to become slaves to the king, well, you know, it's just part of the plan. You know, we don't want to get thrown off any committees and lose any of our property, or fight a war that we can't win.
Well, that's one of the interesting things is you look at the men that signed the Declaration of Independence.
Right, all 56.
Yeah,
it's not like it became, after they signed it, it was a cakewalk and it was sunshine and lollipops.
Ended up dead, lost their families, penniless, in ruins, pursued by the British everywhere, hung, tortured.
Yeah, they knew that when they were signing the document, too, that they were signing their own death warrants.
Yeah, and they had everything to lose. These were not men with nothing to lose. They were prosperous. They had land. They had money. They had everything, except the one thing that they found most important, and that was freedom and liberty.
Well, it kind of reminds me of the guy in the movie 300, you know, where he all of a sudden, he's for the Republic, he's for Sparta, right up until all the gold that he got paid from the Persian Empire falls out of the sack when he gets stabbed.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, traitor! You know? So, you know, at what point in time do you have to call, you know, the truth? I say every time. I don't think we pull back any punches. If they don't want to listen, then, you know, hey, turn off your radio.
Yeah, that's to be said.
Yeah. So with that, let's go ahead and play this clip. We've kind of whipped that horse to death a little bit. maybe not enough. We could come back. And I want to talk about socialism because there seems to be a lot of confusion out there as to what socialism is and why do people support socialism. So go ahead and roll the clip there, Bob, and then we'll go from
Obama
there.
Obama is a socialist. If you take over banks, if you take over car companies, if you...
I think socialist. Barack Obama is a socialist.
Nearly 4 years after being elected, there are still plenty in the right wing trying to vilify President Obama as a socialist. But in America, there's still a little confusion about what socialism really means.
Well, in your view, what is socialism?
I have no idea, actually.
To me, socialist means that you're non-sociable.
If I go to college and I don't know what it means, then I don't really expect mainstream America to know more than I do.
If mainstream America can't figure out what it means, perhaps a socialist can help clear up some of the misconceptions.
I am openly a socialist. Locally, we have ran for office as socialists. We tell the community that we're socialists, and the community here, by and large, supports what we do.
So what about Obama?
I wish Obama was a socialist. I wish that he would distribute the wealth in a way that would benefit the majority of the people of this country. But by no means is Obama a socialist. What's happening in Venezuela, in Bolivia, in other parts of the world, that's socialism, where the masses of the people now have control of the resources of that country.
That is definitely not the case here in the U.S., where a small minority still controls a vast majority of the nation's wealth. But it appears that young people seem not so opposed to the idea of sharing the pie a lot more evenly. A recent Pew poll found about half of all 18 to 29-year-olds have a positive view of socialism, up from 43% just 18 months ago. Meanwhile, the long-accepted bedrock of America's well-being, capitalism, got only a 46% favorability rating, with 47% saying capitalism is actually negative. So, just why are young people suddenly more comfortable with the idea of socialism? Its rise in popularity might be due to popular uprising. The Occupy Wall Street movement exposed the excesses of U.S. capitalism, bringing inequality to the forefront of the national debate. Issues that resonate with young people hard hit by unemployment and crushing student debt.
But if we lived through the banking crisis and those type of things, we've seen like how much greediness, like the subprime mortgages, how much like greed. Everyone want to go in on this risky deal. That's like, I don't know, that's like where capitalism kind of has led.
Leading some to take a closer look at socialism.
It's for the people. It's just that some people in the past have twisted it in terrible ways.
You can't just live off that the pure capitalistic nation that, that we have been.
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
Greed and capitalism might still be all the rage on the big screen, but it appears that socialism is what's increasingly impressing young crowds. In Los Angeles, Ramon Galindo, RT.
Boy, now where do we start?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about twisting and bending the truth to fit your narrative.
Yeah.
Now, RT, if you don't know, is Russian television. Okay, which I think we probably get more truth out of than we do our own media at this point.
Yeah, sometimes they've got some pretty decent stuff on there. I've started looking outside the country for a lot of media information because they cover it way better. You get a lot more of the actual information, and that outside perspective kind of puts it into the view that you need to have to understand some of this stuff.
I agree. Now I want to tear this story up. This is ridiculous. Now, obviously, this is not recent. This is a few years old. But is Obama a socialist? No, he's an outright communist.
Yeah.
And socialism always leads to communism. What is socialism? They talk about Occupy exposing capitalism, the banks. Exposing the banks as capitalism, that's ridiculous. The banks are the quintessential, are essentially the quintessential, you know what I'm trying to say here, yeah. Is socialism. I mean, government bailouts, all this stuff, is not capitalism. This is the greedy subprime. Talk about twisting it out. That's not capitalism. That's cronyism.
Well, that's really. I mean, a lot of the contest that we're seeing here is between communism and fascism, I believe. We've got one faction in our elected body that wants to turn us into kind of a corporate caliphate,
right,
and that's fascism. And then we've got the other half that wants to sell us to the state, which is communism. I sincerely feel trapped between fascists and communists.
You know,
sitting here screaming none of the above.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The essence of capitalism is a free market, not government intervention in the market. I mean, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about redistribution of the wealth. Who are they going to take it from? You know, they're not talking about taking it from the big banks. They're talking about taking it from you and me, because if we work hard and we save our money and we purchase a house and, you know, pay the mortgage off for 30 years, they're talking about you. They're not talking about taking it from the banks. The banks got bailed out with government money.
Yeah, which is our money.
Which is, exactly. So this whole idea, you know, the twisting of the truth is so perverted that what they're saying is that social, you know, what's in place is not socialism, it's free market, when it's socialism that's in place, and they're saying they want more of it, and that's the stuff that's killing them in the first place.
Well, my favorite example out of that whole little clip there was the kid that says, well, look at these subprime guys that were predatory. Number one, those guys would have never issued those subprime loans if they weren't forced to by the government. You know, thank you, Bill Clinton and Al Franken and all those other guys that created the subprime mortgage crisis. And then there's the other personal responsibility of the people that took the mortgage and signed on the dotted line, knowing very well that they were never going to be able to pay it.
Well, and the fact that they produced the money, where did they get the money anyway? Listen, I think we've got our guest on the line here. I believe we've got Stephanie Scruggs with us. She's a political pundit, expert on free market economics, which is exactly what we're talking about, and past co-chair for Glenn Beck's 912 Project. So are you with us there, Stephanie?
I am. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Oh, we love it. Thanks for being on. I'm assuming you've been hearing what we're talking about.
Absolutely. You're speaking my language.
I figure we must be, because I'll tell you what, we just listened to this clip and it's like, holy cow. You know, how much more mixed up can you get it, you know, to call what we have in the banking industry? I mean, you got Gordon Gekko on there saying greed is good, and he's talking about, you know, Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase and Citibank and HSBC. These aren't capitalism. This is the essence of communist or fascism.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And here's where I agree with Gordon Gekko in one sense, in that greed is good. Everyone should have the will and the opportunity to want to get ahead and make money. The difference I have is when you're basically living in Ayn Rand's world, Atlas Shrugged, and everybody needs a man in Washington so that you can cut out your competition and rob the little guy blind in order to achieve that greed. The free market needs to work on its own, which means I get the opportunity to work my butt off and make money, but not by ripping someone else off. And unfortunately, that's what the multinational corporations are doing right now. They're setting up laws and precedents and regulations to cut out the middleman, to cut out the little guy, and get their bailouts with our taxpayer money and get rich that way.
And that's fascism.
Well, that's exactly fascism.
Got it.
And then, and so, you know, on that line of thinking, what do you think about the TPA that our Congressional House of Representatives just voted to give? Now, everybody says, oh, it's not going to give Obama more power. It's not going to give him anything that they voted for in the TPA. What do you think? Are you familiar with that?
Oh, absolutely I am. As national co-chair of the Coalition for a Strong America, that's my position these days, we were working against TPA Fast Track for a year. In fact, this Congress, we've been on the Hill every other week fighting the TPA. Here's the problem. Paul Ryan and all these other guys who say they're conservatives apparently never read the Constitution. When they say that TPA gives Congress more power, they're kind of conveniently forgetting about Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 of the United States Constitution, which says that Congress has the power, not the executive branch, not the president, but Congress has the power to negotiate trade with foreign nations. Yet somehow Paul Ryan would like us to forget that Commerce Clause ever existed so that they can give unfettered power to the worst negotiator in history, Barack Obama, to negotiate the biggest trade deals in history. And all these Republicans fell in line with it and said, well, it's free trade. Since when do we trust Barack Obama's word on anything, let alone defining what free trade is? And yet they went ahead and gave him all that power, and I'm disgusted. So our next job is to start working on the trade deals to make sure we actually get free trade instead of whatever Barack Obama deems to give us.
Well, I mean, House insiders, I mean, didn't our congressmen have to acquiesce to the House insiders? Because if they didn't, they might lose their committee seats. We don't understand what's going on up there because, you know, we're out here in Podunk, USA, and so we couldn't possibly, you know, think that what they were doing was incorrect, could we?
Yeah, sure. I mean, and that does happen. I do remember talking to one congressman staffer and privately said, well, you know, the congressman is really good at his chairmanship, and he doesn't want to lose that. I'm like, you know, when are we going to start doing the right thing? Choose the right thing. Quit kicking the can down the road. Quit worrying about your power position. And instead, how about we just follow the Constitution and make America great again? Wouldn't that be a great idea?
What a concept.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that we've been talking about here is they talk about the authority that's granted in the TPA to Congress to negotiate trade deals. But as you said, if you read the Constitution, they've now actually watered down that authority and lessened it.
They certainly have. And one of the most interesting things is that, you know, there were 150 negotiating objectives that they lined out. Somehow this gives Congress more power. The reality is, the very first of the trade agreements that this applies to, the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement, is going to be finalized at the end of this month. So tell me, in what universe does it make sense that you're going to lay out 150 things for the president to go achieve when there's only one meeting left on this trade deal? It's not going to happen. Furthermore, there is no teeth. There are no teeth in the TPA. There's really no way to rescind it unless Paul Ryan and Orrin Hatch decide to rescind it, and they're not going to do that. Frankly, the contributions to their reelection PACs are too high. So they won't rescind it, and we'll be stuck with whatever Barack Obama gets us.
Well, of course you can keep your trade agreement. Of course you can keep your power, Congress.
Sure.
You can keep your doctor, too, because I think you're going to need it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how can anybody believe? I am so fed up with my congressman, you know, saying one thing and doing another. You know, I'm so fed up with him saying, oh, I'm for the Constitution, I'm one of you, but at the same time, he votes for something like this that completely contradicts everything he's saying. Now, isn't that kind of, I mean, to me, that's being a two-faced liar. As opposed to my representative, who's taking into account that there was so many calls against the TPA, his constituency overwhelmingly was against it, and yet he voted for the inside Republicans anyway.
Well, to quote our congressman, you're just hysterical and read too much.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I do that.
Don't read. It's bad for you.
It's a bad habit. I started it at a young age.
Yeah.
And,
well, here's the interesting thing. I can't speak for the House side because we haven't finished our intensive study yet, but we're in the process of it. But on the Senate side, we took a look at the businesses that belong to the pro-TPP PAC, the PAC that was specifically designed to gather contributions from big businesses that support the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement. We took a look at the contributions they made to senators in the 3 months leading up to the fast-track TPA vote. In just 3 months, millions were poured into the coffers of senators' reelection campaigns. Now, here's the interesting thing. When you break it down senator by senator in those contributions, very little money was given to the pro-trade, quote-unquote, senators who were going to vote for fast-track no matter what. Very little money was given to the anti-fast-track people, right? And I'm talking maybe $1,000.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where all the money was spent, millions of dollars, were all the guys sitting on the fence who claimed to be constitutionalists. Rob Portman, Ted Cruz, Tim Scott. Tim Scott received $60,000 in 3 months. Rob Portman received $107,000. Ted Cruz received $40,000. And I will give Ted Cruz credit. I was really mad at him for a while because he was pro-TPA. And we worked and we worked and we worked. And we, at Coalition for a Strong America, we finally managed to get our hands on a copy, a leaked copy, thank you, WikiLeaks, of the upcoming trade deal. And we were able to get it to Ted Cruz and show him exactly what was in this horrible, horrible trade deal. And he wound up changing his vote. So kudos to Ted Cruz for that. I'm not endorsing him for president, mind you. I'm just giving him a shout-out for doing his research and changing his mind on a subject that he had been publicly for. But back to the point, the amount of money that was spent on these guys is ridiculous. Millions of dollars in just 3 months. And so I would contend to you that those votes were bought and paid for by multinational corporations who don't care about sovereignty. They don't care about free markets. They don't care about the American way. It was paid for by companies like JBL out of Brazil. And Monsanto, this global company that would like us only to eat Monsanto foods. And that goes back to fascism.
Well, we know that the House got $19 million by estimates from OpenSecrets.org, and we know that our congressman got $317,000. So he got paid pretty well to vote for it, it seems.
Certainly did. And it's a sad day in American politics when our graft is now so cleverly disguised. If you go back 100 years ago, the cash payouts were, at least it was cash in hand, and it was somewhat honest, and you could see it, call a bribe. Now it goes into PACs and goes to re-election campaigns because, well, these guys in Congress, a lot of them think their only job is just to keep getting re-elected.
Well, it's, you know, and the thing is, it's actually legal. I mean, dishonesty is legal because when you can do that, that's all legal to run it through the PACs through their election campaigns, is my understanding. So what they did was we've got legalized corruption and graft.
Essentially, yes, I would agree.
Well, yeah.
One of the other things that I wanted to ask about the TPA, because one of the other things that we've been bringing up and being told that we're incorrect and hysterical is the surrendering of American sovereignty in the TPA when they outline how it is the objective to bring American trade into line under the Uruguay Round Agreements and the World Trade Organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's absolutely true. And so what happens under these trade agreements is there is a foreign court, an international court, that is put in charge of all trade disputes, okay? And so companies and foreign countries can sue each other to force each other to change their laws and regulations. Now, for all of last year, I had Paul Ryan and plenty of other congressmen telling me, oh, no, it won't change U.S. law, it won't change U.S. law, it won't change U.S. law. The very week that Congress took a vote on TPA, a ruling came down by the WTO International Court ordering the United States to change our country of origin laws so that we can no longer stamp meat as American beef, United States beef. That has to be stripped. So they ordered us to do it, and sure enough, Congress is right now scrambling and rewriting that law so that we don't label our beef and our food anymore as made in America. It changed our law.
Wow. And so now we can expect meat from, say, I don't know, a country like, I don't know, Venezuela or Mongolia. So we don't know that that's where it's coming from, and we can't have it inspected. Is that part of what could happen?
You're absolutely right. So what happened is this COOL lawsuit, country of origin lawsuit, actually happened as it pertains to NAFTA. So it could be Mexican beef. It could be Canada beef. But let's take the upcoming Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement, for example. One of the deadly things in TPP is that as long as another country has a written set of food safety standards as they apply to their own people, we have to accept that food here, even if that food fails miserably against our own USDA standards. So let's take Thailand and Vietnam, for example. Believe it or not, the state of Alabama has the best hands-on food inspection system in the entire country. They inspect the vast majority of food that comes into port, whereas the USDA only inspects about 4%. Okay? What the state of Alabama's health department has found is over 80% of Thai seafood and Vietnamese seafood that comes into port is not even good enough for dog food. It fails so miserably. It's loaded with vermin, with rodent hair, with DDT, with mercury, and then to keep it alive long enough to make it to port, they dump outrageous amounts of antibiotics onto it so it doesn't rot and die in the coolers. So right now, Alabama rejects 80% of that seafood. If TPP passes, they will no longer be able to reject that food because Thailand and Vietnam accept it for their own people. But at least When there was country of origin labeling, you could do as I do now. I read the labels. I don't live in Alabama, but I'm familiar with the data, so at least when I go to the grocery store right now and I pick up a package of tilapia, for instance, or swai, swai is Vietnamese, tilapia is generally out of Thailand, I can look on the back and see, where did this come from? Is it from the USA, or is it from Thailand or Vietnam? If it says Thailand or Vietnam, I can protect my family by not buying that. But, thanks to the country of origin labeling, that goes away too. So I would tell you this.
Who's the
passes, don't buy Thai and don't buy tilapia.
Jeez. Who is comprising this foreign court? I mean, who is that? I mean, do we know who the players are there? Is it just secret FISA star chamber, or what is it?
They're international trade attorneys, and this is why you see the Cato Institute. Many of the people at Cato Institute are backing this because their professional employment, their paying gig, is to act as international trade attorneys. And it goes on a rotating basis. So you can be a judge on one case and an attorney on the next case. Now, we don't let judges act as attorneys in this country because, well, there's too much ability for corruption, right? You could make a ruling in one case that helps your expected client in the next case. And that has happened in these WTO rulings. Cato, I would contend, many of these attorneys are supporting this because, well, they'd like a shot at being a judge on an international WTO case.
Wow. Well, one of the things I would like to clarify for some of our listeners is when you speak about the Cato Institute, when we were in discussion with our congressman's office about the TPA and our opposition to it and other people's opposition to it, they actually put forth the information from the Cato Institute, told us to ignore the TPA, don't read so much, and look at the information from the Cato Institute. And you're saying that the Cato Institute are the ones that are actually going to be seeing a profit from working these cases, correct?
Well, I can't say it's the Cato Institute itself. I will say the author of the articles, there are two authors of the articles that have been published by Cato. They have fellowships at Cato Institute, but their regular job is as attorneys. So it would be the members of Cato Institute that would profit from this, not necessarily Cato Institute itself.
Wow. Listen, Stephanie, we've got to go to a break for a few minutes here, and then we'll come right back and pick it up on the other side.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Well,
there we go.
And they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red. They call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
It's Molly Kidd, and I'm taking over the radio this summer during On the Spot with Linda Bott. Find out what's hot and what's not in the North State. Wine, food, music, and fashion. It's every Thursday night from 6 to 7. Listen in and find out where you need to be this summer. It's On the Spot, but with Molly Kidd. Special thanks to Dandelion Unique Gifts and Clothing, Wind River Resort and Casino, and Crackmaster Windshield Repair.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
By now, I'm sure you're aware of the many advantages solar energy offers you and your family. Clearly, solar is finding its way into our everyday life. Hi, my name is Sue Blake of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we've been installing solar systems on North State homes since 2003. It's important to know that all solar is not the same. As a solar contractor, we partner with SunPower because having just celebrated their 30th anniversary in the solar industry, they have a proven track record. SunPower is an American solar company which developed and patented the industry's most efficient solar cells and solar panels on the market for a complete solar energy solution. There are many cost-effective solar packages available, some starting for less than a cup of coffee a day. And we want you to have the information you need so that you know of all the solar options available for your family. Experience and commitment to quality. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Nate Abarea back here with Dr. Sam Carino of the Shasta Spine Specialist. Doc, tell us about this new system, the DRX9000, and what it can do to improve your health and your life.
The DRX9000 is the only true non-surgical spinal decompression system. The DRX9000 can effectively treat common and debilitating back pain, neck pain, stenosis, and sciatica. Too many people are having back surgery when the technology for non-surgical disc repair is right here in Reading.
So when you compare back surgery to non-surgical spinal decompression, like the DRX9000, what are some of the main differences?
Non-surgical spinal decompression is safer, more effective, more financially reasonable, and much less invasive, with no side effects or dependence on harmful prescription drugs. We want the people of Shasta County to improve their health and become stronger in their bodies. Our all-inclusive care program includes physiotherapies, nutrition, exercise, decompression, and chiropractic care.
Give Shasta Spine Specialists a call at 243-2300, 243-2300, or check them out online, ShastaSpine.com.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
It's hot and smoky, and yet they're on the job 24 hours around the clock, protecting our lives, our homes, and our property. From all of us on the China Fire and all the fires in the North State, a huge thank you for all you do. You saved our homes and patrolled our streets, keeping the looters at bay. Although we were without electricity, most of us returned to our homes standing safe, if a little singed. To our firefighters and our police force, thank you seems so trivial. We are sincerely indebted to you.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I'm alright, nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm alright, don't nobody but about me. You got to give me a fight? Why don't you just let it be?
KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media, Sovereign Mind Radio, State of Jefferson, Jefferson State of Mind.
And the coming Shasta Lantern Hour.
There we have it. We got Red Smith here with us and Bob Martin and Stephanie, gosh darn it, Scruggs. I got it.
Don't take it personally. He's terrible with names.
I am terrible with names. You know, it just, what can I say? I apologize. But you've been a great guest, Stephanie. And, man, I'll tell you, we're right on the same wavelength. I look at this thing and, you know, how can we give our congressman a pass on this crap? I mean, you're talking about our food being tainted with no, no oversight. We're talking about a lot of different things here. And some foreign court basically telling us how to run our trade. And you know, how likely is this TPP to pass now that the TPA is in place?
It's almost assured passage. Every single time we've used TPA in the past, every single, quote, free trade bill, or trade agreement, as I should call it, because it has nothing to do with free trade, every single one of these trade agreements has passed under a TPA. So, but here's the good news. We were able, at Coalition for a Strong America, because we got our hands on some leaked copies of the negotiations, and we were able to deliver those into the hands of a few senators and some congressmen, we were able to steal some votes. Unfortunately, doing such a thing is really expensive. And so we weren't able to do all 535 members of Congress. But because of our actions, some key people did change their vote and vote against Fast Track. Those being Ted Cruz, Senator Jeff Sessions, Louie Gohmert, and a handful of others because of the work we did. Like with anything else, sunshine cures all evils. So if we can get the truth out, I think that we have a shot of defeating TPP. You know, the interesting thing is here, I'm a diehard Republican. I have never once pulled a voting lever for anything other than an R behind the name. I'm a diehard conservative. I believe in the Constitution. And the interesting thing is that we have this huge contingent of Republicans and conservatives working on this, but at the same time, we also have a big contingent of Democrats working against this. You know, my contention here is that any time the left and the right agree that something needs to be stopped, Congress darn well better listen. So I would say what we need to do is continue the education process, keep finding out the dirty deeds that are in these various trade bills, keep informing Congress. We at Strong America will continue fighting on the Hill and spreading the information, but it's important for the folks who can't go to D.C. to read up on this stuff, too. We do have the leaked copies of the trade bill on our website, coalitionforastrongamerica.com. I would encourage everyone to go there and read these things so that you can be well-educated and point to the facts. Whenever your congressman or anyone else tries to debate this with you, have the facts on your side and be educated, and let's just start flooding these guys and make it absolutely clear that we don't care how much money JBL or the U.S. Chamber of Commerce or Monsanto gives you. We're still the ones voting. And we're not going to reelect you if you keep selling America and our Constitution down the river. And it will work. We just have to coordinate and work hard to do it.
Well, that sounds like you're hysterical from reading too much.
Yeah, you've been informing yourself again. You've got to stop that, Stephanie.
Those pesky facts.
Just
get in the way.
Oh, boy. You know, and I think what we'll do is we'll find out what our local congressman office's numbers are, and we'll get them up out on the air here pretty soon. And I think we should just bombard these guys with this, because it's our congressman, and we know who our senators are, Boxer and Feinstein. You know, we got Frank and Fine and then Boxer, but I think Boxer's going to be gone here pretty soon, so she probably doesn't give a... You know,
yeah, she doesn't.
But Feinstein said she was, she might be swayable. But definitely our local congressman will get the numbers up, because, everybody needs to bombard these guys with this stuff, saying, stop it, stop it, stop it. Just like Stephanie's saying, you guys, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that you lose the next election if you keep going down this unconstitutional road of acquiescing to the money. A moneyed interest against the people's interest in the Constitution.
Well, that's one of the things that I would like to clarify and kind of bring back to bare bones. any congressman or their office that said that the TPA did not surrender American sovereignty, that did not grant new authorities to the president, and did not remove some of the power of authority, either didn't read and understand the bill or bald-faced lied about it.
You're absolutely right. And let me give you an insight into what happens in Congress. I didn't realize this until I started working on the Hill. First of all, an average of 300 bills a week are introduced in Congress. And none of these bills are 10 pages long. No, they're always thousands of pages long. And your congressman is by law limited to only 18 staffers. Now, some of those staffers are in the district offices. The rest are in D.C. So let's just split it in half. You've got nine kids who are all average about 23, 24 years old in your office who have to weed their way through 300 bills a week, try and understand the legal language of it, the statutory language, which is impossible sometimes, and then they advise the boss on how to vote. So the terrifying thing is, the reality is, the world, or at least the United States, is essentially run by two things. 24-year-old staffers who've never had a job outside of college and working for a congressman, and big corporations like Monsanto, and the other things that would like to pay your congressman to vote a certain way. Coalition for a Strong America is the only grassroots group that I know of, and we act kind of like a lobbying firm. So Monsanto has their lobbyists, and the American people have us at Coalition for a Strong America. We don't take big corporate money. But we go do the same things that those corporate lobbyists do. We go in and educate those staffers and those congressmen on what's going on. Because the congressman literally can't keep up with 300 bills a week. And then, of course, you have staffers that are 24-year-old kids who, frankly, don't know their head from a hole in the ground.
Or they have an agenda, and they actually screen the congressman from information that they should be giving him instead of keeping the information from him and informing him. So it sounds like the staffers are part of the problem, or a big part of the problem.
You are absolutely right. I remember one meeting I had that was intensely frustrating and frankly terrifying, and it was with a staffer that was probably 24 or 25 years old. And this kid openly said, I'm a globalist, and I think globalism is great. Who cares where a product comes from as long as it's the same product? And then, of course, I pointed out, you know, Thai catfish, right? I've got American catfish that goes through USDA screening. I've got Thai catfish. It doesn't. I don't want to eat worms. And this kid kept going back to globalism is good. Globalism is good. And I got furious. I actually lost my temper because I said, you know, here's the thing that you're too young to understand. Our Constitution created our freedom, and that freedom created the free market that allowed us all to get wealthy and have the largest middle class in all of history, have the largest buying power in all of history. Here's the problem, though. If you take away that Constitution, if you take away that sovereignty, all the rest falls.
Yep.
I don't want America to become a second world nation.
No, I don't want to be Europe.
If we gut the Constitution, that's exactly what will happen.
Well, and
these things are possible because of the Constitution.
These guys don't understand that their standard of living is going to tank. And it's tanking now because of the monetary system and the chipping away at the Constitution in general, period. So, you know, they don't seem to get that. They think they're going to still maintain their standard of living and life is going to be good, and we're all going to lock arms with, you know, countries like Dubai and Saudi Arabia and Iran. Oh, wait a minute. No, they're worried about those guys. But, you know.
Oh, no, wait. But here's the thing. The TPP, all these trade agreements are docking agreements, which means any country can join on them at any time. Mm-hmm. And America does not get a veto. We don't get to object. So if two-thirds of the other countries decide that Iran needs to be on this trade agreement, or even Cuba, none of our sanctions will apply. They will become a full trade partner of the United States of America, and our money will wind up going to regimes that behead Christians and still crucify people and mutilate the genitals of women.
What could go wrong? Yeah, what could go wrong? I mean, and of course, the fact that our congressman actually voted to get this put in place We should just give them a pass. Yeah, that's it. We shouldn't call this thing. We're extremist, radical guys that because we want to protect our sovereignty, our constitution, our family, our freedom, and our way of life, somehow are, you know, we just don't know what we're doing, and you know, we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, and you know, and doggone it, we just think we're nice people. You know, I mean, the Stuart Smalley approach is BS. It doesn't work.
Because I'm good enough. I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
You know, there's this interesting fantasy that happens with people who claim they're for free trade. They're really no different than the no-nukes hippies. It's the same thing. It's this idea that if we lay down all of our nukes, everybody else will. If we lay down all of our trade barriers, everybody else will too. Because nirvana is absolutely possible if we just make the first move. It's not true in the case of nukes because somebody is always going to want military superpower status. And it's the same thing in trade. Because just because we lower all of our trade barriers doesn't mean that China is going to do that or Vietnam or anyone else.
Oh, I'm
it's
sure.
Human nature to look for an edge. And the more we claim we're free trade and lay down our arms, they're just going to continue taking advantage of us.
Oh,
there's a reason why everything you see on Walmart shelves is from China.
I'm sure that China and Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq all have our best interests in mind. Because, you know, I mean, gosh, why wouldn't
well,
they?
How can a free market operate without a consumer that's, you know, able to be fully informed about the products that they're buying?
Well, and you know, Stalin and Mao, all these guys just didn't do it right in the past. That was the problem. They just didn't implement the program properly. You know, our guys, our benevolent Washingtonians, are going to implement this properly in conjunction with these foreign countries. I mean, why wouldn't we just sign on?
You're exactly right. And, you know, you make a good point about the education. How can we really have a free market if the consumer cannot educate themselves? And I'll extrapolate that even further. With the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement, which is the first trade agreement coming up, our congressmen have to go to a locked, secure room under the Capitol building just to read this. They cannot bring a staffer with them unless the staffer has classified security clearance. They are searched upon entering, and they are have their phones and everything else taken away from them. They cannot take any pictures, they cannot take any copies, they cannot record any voice notes. They can take notes in the building, but they have to leave those notes behind, and they're searched on the way out. That's just for TPP, and it's thousands of pages long, and they have to just read and retain it. The other two trade agreements that are being negotiated right now, TISA, the Trade and Services Agreement, and
yeah,
TTIP, the Transatlantic
one.
Trade Agreement, those aren't even available at all to the congressmen. And like, and so that's why when we at Coalition for a Strong America got our hands on a copy of TISA, we started printing that baby and delivering it to offices because, like Ted Cruz, he was not allowed to see one iota of the negotiating text. And when he finally got to see it, he realized, this is horrible. I can't vote for Fast Track because it will enable this horrible trade agreement.
Yeah, you gotta pass the bill before you read it. And, you know, anybody who's interested in calling our congressman, you can phone his D.C. Offices in Washington, D.C. at 202-225-3076. Again, that's 202-225-3076. And the Reading District Office is 530-223-5898. Again, that's 530-223-5898. And I think that maybe you should call him up and at least tell his staffer how, you know, you feel about this trade agreement and the fact that, that he voted for it. So with that, I think we have to go to a break, and we'll be back. This is KCNR 1460 Sovereign Mind Radio.
The heat in the coolest place in town, Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Play with us this summer and enjoy air-conditioned indoor fun. Cool off with art at Make and Take Tuesdays.
Play along in our passport raffle at Aquatic Adventures and avoid a brain freeze in Mindbender Mansion. Learn all about Turtle Bay's resident animals at Walk on the Wild Side. When temperatures soar, come chill with us. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
You're listening to an encore presentation of Sovereign Minds, originally aired on July 12th of this year, and hour number two comes your way next after the 10 o'clock news here on KCNR Shasta, Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. Chinese authorities have confirmed 700 tons of sodium cyanide was being stored at the site of last week's massive explosions in the port city of Tianjin. China's top prosecuting office says it's setting up a team to investigate possible offenses related to the explosions, which killed at least 112 people. Also on SRNNews.com, winds are helping stoke wildfires sweeping across the northern Rocky Mountains, Pacific Northwest, and elsewhere in the West, posing problems for firefighters trying to contain the flames fed by drought. Oregon Department of Forestry spokesman Paul Reese says there's little to no containment on the state's two biggest blazes.
This is a fast-moving situation here. We had significant lightning. We have very dry conditions, very extreme fire behavior.
A 70-year-old woman was killed when she fell and hit her head while preparing to flee from a wildfire expanding quickly east of Lewiston, Idaho. Rescuers are heading into a remote area of Indonesia where villagers say they saw a plane crash into a mountain. Indonesian officials say a Trigana Air Service plane carrying 54 people lost contact with ground control during a short flight in bad weather. The Department of Homeland Security is forming a cybersecurity panel to join ongoing efforts to prevent a cyber attack on power plants or the electric grid. SRN's Linda Kenyon has the story.
Officials have known for some time that cyber threats against critical infrastructure are increasingly likely. In fact, National Security Agency Director Michael Rogers told lawmakers last fall that China and one or two other countries would be able to shut down portions of critical U.S. infrastructure with a cyber attack.
A major attack on power plants or the electric grid has been described as a cyber Pearl Harbor. Stay inside if you can. That's the advice of a National Weather Service meteorologist in Phoenix, Arizona, where the temperature hit a record 115 degrees on Saturday. This is SRN News.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360 to talk to a certified counselor.
I had heard about Trinity, so I made the call. They took care of all of my credit cards, and now I am completely debt-free.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
My name is Ann, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-758-5360.
A Michigan lawmaker has an extramarital affair with another legislator and is admitted to masterminding a cover-up.
Republican Representative Todd Corser and fellow freshman Tea Party Representative Cindy Gamrat are subjects of a House investigation into whether they misused public resources to hide their relationship. Corser says he orchestrated a campaign suggesting he had sex with a male prostitute to divert attention. Corser released a 1,900-word confessional on his Facebook page. In the scripture-filled posting, the Republican calls himself the poster boy for those who would say Christians are failures. Corser and Gamrat are both married, and both say they have no plans to resign. Patrick Foss, SRN News.
Three people have been injured in the crash of a hot air balloon in a central Pennsylvania field. Police say the pilot was attempting to land when the crash occurred. The top of the balloon got tangled in overhead electrical wires. This is SRN News. The Federal Aviation Administration's flight delay information site says general arrival and departure delays have been reduced to 15 minutes or less after a day of delays and cancellations along the East Coast caused by a technical failure at a flight control center in Virginia. This passenger, Valentin Camillion, says the delay was leaving Washington cut into his vacation time in Miami.
It's warm. It's nice there. I want to be at the beach.
The FAA said it had resolved the problem Saturday afternoon, though its root cause remained under investigation. Sheriff's deputies have rescued five migrants in the desert about 50 miles south of Phoenix, Arizona. Temperatures have been soaring above 110 degrees in the region in recent days. The Maricopa County Sheriff's Office is a 911 caller called dispatchers that two groups walking through the desert east of Gila Bend had been out of water for 3 days. More details at SRNNews.com.
And you're listening to an encore presentation of Sovereign Minds, originally broadcast on July 12th of this year. If you hear phone numbers, please don't call. We have two more hours to go. A live We the People will be on AM 1460 KCNR following the news at noon. In the meantime, enjoy an encore presentation, the best of Sovereign Minds, here on AM 1460 KCNR, community talk radio for the North State.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Here to stay as long as there's a fight to fight. We've been talking with our guest, Stephanie Scruggs, and she is from the Coalition for a Strong America at coalitionforastrongamerica.com. And I was just looking at the website there. I love the Paul Ryan's Cheating Heart. It's got the donkey or the Democratic ass and the Republican pachyderm in bed together smoking cigarettes. I think that means something, but we won't cover that. And so the headline is Ryan's Ways and Means Committee tries to cover up illegal immigration built into the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement. Now, say it isn't so. I mean, they wouldn't try to cover up an immigration agreement. Obama would never put any other fluff into this trade agreement that might pass his agendas on other fronts, would he?
No, never. Of course he would. Barack Obama has told us repeatedly that he will do whatever it takes to finalize his agenda. And in fact, his exact words were, "I have a pen and I have a phone." He has a six-year record of going around Congress in any manner he can. You know, the interesting thing, though, is with Fast Track and with these upcoming trade agreements, he had sucked all the power previously into the executive branch. Now he's taking it even outside of the executive branch, because what happens with these trade agreements, as we saw with the country of origin labeling lawsuit, is they get to pack all these regulations into legislation, which means it goes into law, and instead of Congress or the executive branch or even the Supreme Court having the final say on those laws, now the final say on those laws goes to an international tribunal court, and they can force us to do their will. So he's taken the power not only out of Congress, but now he's taking it out of the Oval Office and giving it away to a global, unelected body that, oh, by the way, those rulings cannot be appealed. So we're stuck with it. And how they force it, some people can say, well, we just don't have to listen to them. Well, here's what they do, is when they rule against you at the WTO, they impose sanctions and fines. Now, lots of people can say, okay, we just won't pay the fines. Well, we tried that a few years ago in a trade dispute that Argentina had brought against us. And so what the WTO did when we refused to pay the fines, they started sanctioning us in a totally unrelated manner. intellectual property protection. So that all of a sudden, American businesses, unrelated to the original trade dispute, started feeling the squeeze because their IP, their intellectual property, was getting sold out all over the world. So the United States was forced to cave, and we wound up paying the fines too. So this is how they enact things. They put pressure on you in other ways to force Congress to comply and force America to come under the will and the rule of the international body.
Wow. So, you know, what we've talked about today, everything that the congressman's staffer locally had to say in her talking points and her posts that show that the TPA was good, you just absolutely eviscerated everything that she said about this thing as not being true. You know, whether it's from the, you know, not giving Congress, you know, giving Congress power to Obama, they said that wasn't true. The TPA has no teeth. They said that. The TPA prevents Congress from fixing bad trade deals. What about that? We can't fix the bad trade deals? I mean, that's what you're saying. I mean,
they have no power to amend now.
They have absolutely no power to amend. See, what happens is we call these trade agreements, but it's just a cute label we slap on them to change the threshold for votes. In reality, by the entire rest of the international community, these trade agreements are treated as treaties. They're not just some contract. They're an actual treaty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we call them trade agreements here in the United States so that it takes less votes to pass them.
Well, and
it
bypasses the Constitution because the Congress is the only ones that can negotiate treaties.
You're absolutely right. So once that treaty goes into effect, you have de facto changed your laws. You've agreed in advance to change your law. And going into this, here's the other thing that a lot of the representatives did not understand when they passed Fast Track. Not only are they fast tracking the negotiations and giving Barack Obama the ability to negotiate all by his little lonesome the world's biggest trade agreements, the largest in history, they are also fast tracking all of the implementing legislation that goes with them. So what happens is this. The first of the trade deals, the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement, will come to Congress for them to vote up or down. Let's just say they voted up. Okay, it passes, the president has signed it, TPP goes into effect. What happens next is the president gets to write all of the implementing legislation, all of the laws, legislations, and regulations that need to happen in order to implement that.
Which is unconstitutional.
Now, exactly. You're right, it's unconstitutional. And even worse, Congress cannot amend that legislation. They can either vote it up or down. So the excuse we heard is, well, we can always vote it down. Ah, but there's the problem. If you vote it down, you've already signed the treaty. We'll call it a trade agreement to be nice, but realistically, it's a treaty. You've already agreed in advance to implement all this stuff. So if Congress votes down that implementing legislation, bam, there goes another lawsuit before the WTO. And we get fined and sanctioned until we comply.
And one of the other things that's in there is that any American law that can be deemed as causing an international corporation to lose profits, they can actually sue to reclaim those profits.
That's absolutely right. So there's an interesting case in Northern California that happened a few years back where a Canadian company knew that California was changing its environmental laws. They also knew they could utilize the WTO tribunals to force California to do their will, right? So what they did is they bought a piece of property and they broke ground on it. That's all they did is they broke ground. They did not build a building. They just broke ground. And immediately after breaking ground, they turned around and sued California and said that California's environmental regulation was a trade barrier and was costing them money. So they were able to force California to give up that regulation so that they could go ahead and do what they wanted. It was completely predatory in nature. They knew it was coming. Of course, there were 1,000 other places they could have built, but they chose to do it there because they wanted to set the precedent of forcing it to change. But here's something else that's interesting about this. There's something that's never been in another trade agreement, in the previous trade agreement, that's now in the TPP. They have written the ISDS, International Settlement Dispute Status, they've written it differently this time so that now previous cases were so-and-so versus the United States of America, and it was essentially country to country. Now, they've opened the door so that those foreign countries and those foreign companies cannot just sue the United States of America. They can turn around and sue the city, the state, and the county. So what happens when you have an international company that wants your county to build a highway exit? Your county doesn't have the money to build that highway exit, or maybe the county doesn't want it there. But doggone it, that Hyundai plant wants that highway exit there, and they want you taxpayers to pay for it. If the county refuses, Hyundai could then turn around and sue your county for millions and millions of dollars.
That's got to be good. That's got to be good.
The smallest lawsuit I've ever seen in one of these WTOs is $50 million. Most of them range in the $100 and $200 million range. Can your county afford $100 million?
Well, you know what this is a grand-scale redistribution of the wealth.
And what defenses are the local municipalities afforded?
None. Absolutely none. Because here's the reality. Your local municipality probably has a part-time or maybe a full-time, a single full-time attorney. They do not have the manpower, let alone the experience, to argue a case before the WTO. They don't work in international trade. So what will happen is your county will be forced to either settle or will just flat out lose. The same thing goes on the state end, I mean, because they can sue the state directly as well. The state of California, if I remember correctly, only has 3 attorneys on staff for the state. Again, with all of the other business that goes on in the state, they do not have the manpower to be able to handle such a lawsuit, nor the experience to be able to do a good job. So you will either settle or lose. Either way, the taxpayers of your city, county, and state lose.
Now, I hate to call a spade, but this sounds a lot like treasonous garbage to me.
It sure does to me, too. Right? Didn't all of our elected officials take an oath to uphold the Constitution? Not to uphold Monsanto's bottom line, but to uphold the United States Constitution. And yet, they're giving it all away.
I guess we should just be quiet and not call this out. We've been putting a little too much pressure on our local congressmen because, you know, we've had a few complaints. If this is the truth and we know it to be, then if we don't say anything, we're complicit.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Silence is consent.
Well, that's one of the things that I often say is, how many of our elected representatives do you think could pass an 8th grade constitution test?
Most of them not.
I
personally think that before taking office, you should have to take a class and be able to pass that class in order to take office.
I agree. You should at least have a fundamental understanding of the Constitution before you swear an oath to it. And one of the other things that I think is, as you were mentioning, the limited resources Congress has for staff and the overwhelming things that they deal with, if you were a congressman that had an active constituency that is involved in things, that you should lean on them as a resource, as an asset to help you understand this legislation, because they have the time and the capability to tear through it and present you with some understanding. And when they call in to try and help, not bully them and attempt to lobby them the other direction because the guy's making money off the legislation, say so.
I'm not sure if the Constitution class for congressmen comes between Power 101 or Corruption 2.0. But, I think that the college that they've been going to forgot about the Constitution. So with that, we got to go to a break, Stephanie. It'll be a few minutes, and we'll come back on the other side and continue our quest for constitutional excellence here.
Great.
He didn't notice that the lights had changed. have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Leipzig's of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Playing ball is a fun and healthy activity. Unfortunately, the cost of organized sports participation is out of reach for many children. Artwood and Play Ball Foundation's mission is to increase local youth sports participation through education, providing equipment, and fee assistance. Join us on Saturday, August 29th for the Home Run Derby fundraiser at Reading Softball Park. Admission is free and includes a kids' venue, concessions, and good old-fashioned home run hitting. Sponsored by K2 Properties and the Corey Meyer Home Selling Team. For more information, visit us on Facebook or call 440-4211.
Grace Place Tea House is now serving gourmet teas, Pete's coffee, and delectable treats. All proceeds from Grace Place benefit Compass Shining Care, a local nonprofit committed to extending compassion and hope, enhancing the quality of life for individuals, families, and the overall community. Right in the heart of downtown at 1448 Pine Street. So stop in, enjoy a special drink while you relax and rejuvenate. Grace Place is what we are all about. A place of grace.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
But that's how we roll. You know, we're just anger. We're just the angry haters that want freedom, constitutional republic, our families prosperous so that we have a better standard of living. We just hate things like that. But, wait a minute. No, we don't. We love those things, and we hate the opposition to that.
Yeah, and the fact that my generation will be the first generation in American history to inherit a lower standard of living than the generation before me.
Well,
a little salty about that.
We deserve it, though, because we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, and doggone it. Yeah. You know what's so screwed up is that Stuart Smalley, yeah, there you go. Go ahead and play it, Bob. Yeah. Stuart Smalley is a senator.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Well, I think they fixed the votes.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
I wonder if that's on Franken's answering machine when people call Congress. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Moving right along, let's talk about this being a living agreement. The Obama administration seems to think that living agreements are the way to go because, I mean, I think that that's what dictators like, because when you have a living agreement, it's whatever I say happens goes.
When I say it.
And that's a living agreement. I think Stalin had living agreements. Just shut up, go back to work. What can you comment on that, Stephanie?
Well, absolutely. And it shouldn't be any surprise, because the Obama administration also thinks that the United States Constitution is a living agreement and that it can be changed and should be changed at will. And at whim, particularly Obama and Hillary Jarrett's whim. The fact is that such things, and especially our Constitution, it's pretty much written in stone. These are your rights. They are unalienable.
Yeah.
The reason the administration likes such things is, like with Stalin, they can make up the rules as they go along, and that exact thing is happening in these trade agreements. So, and this isn't new, by the way. You know, we talked about the country of origin labeling lawsuit under between the NAFTA countries, and the reality is under the NAFTA agreement, there was no ban on country of origin labeling. We get 10 years down the road, and everywhere from Sonic to McDonald's is advertising that it's 100% United States beef. Well, the folks in Canada and Mexico didn't like that very much. They realized it was cutting into their profits, and so they sued under the WTO, and the WTO made this ruling and essentially added something to the trade agreement 10 years after we'd already signed it. So this happens in all these trade agreements all the time. The WTO tribunals have the ability and have actually done the deed of adding provisions to these trade agreements that affect our laws. And because we've signed these treaties knowing that they are, quote, living agreements and can and will change, by signing those treaties with that provision, we're in advance giving up our right to object to such a thing.
Well, you know something, I'm looking at this and you're going, okay, he likes the living parts where they can change and do whatever they want, but they don't like any teeth for the Congress to have. I mean, A, a docking agreement that Congress must approve, any new trade partner added to the agreement. I guess they requested that. That was denied. Secrecy to force the administration to make the full text of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement immediately available to the public. Denied. Immigration. To ensure that no agreement changes in U.S. immigration law or practices. Denied. World court tribunals to ensure world courts do not overrule less, U.S. law. Denied. Currency manipulation. That's kind of my forte. To ensure eight TPP trading partners known as the worst offenders, currency manipulators, are prevented from future currency manipulation. Denied. Human rights, sex, slavery and sex trafficking to ensure that the U.S. does not give favored trade status to countries the State Department has identified as has identified as human rights, slavery, sex. I don't say this all that often. So, human rights, slavery, sex trafficking nations denied. I mean, so this is what's in this agreement that the Congress is giving up control over.
You're absolutely right. You know, let me ask you a question. Would you willingly do business with thieves? Guys that you know who are outright thieves. Would you go down to the corner guy who's robbed all the houses in town? Would you do business with him?
Well, are you discussing actual thieves or thieves by an act of Congress?
Well, it's kind of the same thing. Is my point. You know, the other question is, would you do business with the pimp? You know, the pimp down on the shady corner who beats his girls and forces them to go out and have sex with strangers, and he gets all the money. You wouldn't do business with him either. You wouldn't set up a party.
Pretty sure I'm not doing business with Shorty the pimp.
No.
Exactly. But that's exactly what's happening with these trade agreements. Let's go back to the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement. 8 of the 11 trade partners are on our own State Department bad guy list for human rights violations. Throughout the Southeast, whether it's Singapore or Taiwan, girls as young as 7 and 8 years old are regularly kidnapped off the street and sold into brothels to become sex slaves. Across this region, it's a problem. 8 of the 11, our own State Department has labeled them as human rights violators. Forget about the United Nations. Our own State Department says this. And yet, we're going to enable trade with them. We're going to give them favored trading status to enrich these nations, and somehow Orrin Hatch and Mitch McConnell and John Boehner didn't think it was a good idea to add an amendment to this to say, you have to stop sex trafficking and human slavery. You know, so we're sitting here having this giant debate about a Confederate flag and slavery that ended well over 100 years ago, but we're enabling a number of countries who still practice this today. And we're going to give them money? It's ridiculous.
Well, it's ridiculous and insane unless you're trying to take over a country from within. That's the real deal. That's see, that's what people don't want to get grasp a hold. You know, it's like, oh, we got to take it easier on a congressman. Are you freaking kidding me? No, we're going to hammer him into pulp over this crap because all you got to do is listen to what the hell's going on here. And if you think we should give him a pass on this, you're either complicit or you're a freaking idiot. Okay?
You're absolutely right. You know what, the biggest thing that it drives me crazy is we tend to think of our congressmen and our senators as some kind of big shots. That's baloney. We pay their salaries with our tax dollars. They work for us. We're their bosses. They're employees. Be hard on them. Make them do their job.
Right. So we should, but that's the prevailing wisdom is, oh, you know, what's going to happen if he loses his seat on that that committee? What's going to happen if we lose our country, you idiot? Moron, wake up.
Exactly.
Gosh, you know. And then it just slays me that all these guys are coming out like they're against Obama and his agenda and his objectives, and yet they will vote for something like this and try to pass it off to their constituents as some kind of, you know, it's okay, there's no problem here, you know, we need to go along to get along, and we're just supposed to suck it up and not say a freaking word to these idiots while they sell us down the road to slavery through treasonous activity by giving up our Constitution and the rights they're in.
You're absolutely right. You know, you touched on an issue that's near and dear to my heart in all this, and that's currency manipulation. A lot of people don't talk about it because it seems like it's complicated. It's kind of like you say algebra and people's ears shut. Same thing happens with currency manipulation. But the reality is currency manipulation costs jobs.
Absolutely.
What
yes,
it is, is other countries go into the foreign currency market, and just take a minute to think of currency as like a commodity, like apples, okay? They go into the currency market, and they purposely devalue their own currency in order to get a trade advantage. So again, think of it like apples. Are you going to buy the apple that costs you $5, or are you going to buy the apple that costs you $1? You're going to buy the cheaper apple.
Well, if it's not labeled anymore, how do I know?
Well, there's a good point. There's a problem with fiat currencies. But so what these countries do is they purposely devalue their currency to gain a trade advantage, to make other countries' products more expensive than their own. Okay? So, again, going back to the TPP and the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement, 8 of the 10, just like with, it's funny, it's these 8 numbers, 8 of the 11 partners on here are on the IMF community's top 10 bad guy list for currency manipulation. And the number one is China. When you take a look at what this currency manipulation costs America, it's astounding.
Yep.
If we were to just stop currency manipulation and put clear enforcement measures down on it, our economy would be roaring. Because here's what it is. When you take those 8 partners plus China, that currency manipulation costs our GDP $800 billion a year. That's with a B. $800 billion a year and 8 million jobs a year.
Well, that's
it. If we were to just put our foot down, we'd have 8 million jobs. Boom.
Well,
it's been a matter of months.
You so hit it, Stephanie, on the head. Is what people don't realize, it's not just that the goods are cheaper, it's the manufacturing of the goods that is also cheaper, and so the labor pool is cheaper. So what happens is these guys that have zero affinity towards their own patriotism of their own country. In other words, you got the guy that works at 3M or the guy that works at Goldman Sachs or the guy that works at GE. They know that they can manufacture these goods
better than
a lot cheaper in that other country. So what do? They move all of their jobs into that other country because they can pay cheap slave labor basically to create the same goods and services, and our jobs go get offshore.
Well, you're
really absolutely
need to
right.
Just...
It does cost jobs. I'm going to use Representative Kurt Clausen out of Florida as an example. Kurt Clausen used to be the CEO of Hayes Lemire Wheel Alloy Company. This was a 100-year-old company that made wheels. In fact, they started out making them for Henry Ford back in the day. They lasted 100 years. Then the Chinese and the East Asian countries like Vietnam and Korea started flooding the market with cheap goods and manipulated currency. And Kurt Clausen will tell you himself, the reason Hayes Lemire went out of business is strictly because of Chinese currency manipulation. They begged our Congress and our administration to file trade lawsuits to stop the practice. Kurt Clausen tried to sponsor an amendment to add currency manipulation fixes to this bill. They wouldn't do it. And so a 100-year old American company went out of business and moved to a foreign country because the foreign country bought it up when it went out of business. It cost 11,000 American jobs. 11,000 jobs just from one country, or a company, rather. all because currency manipulation wasn't fixed. And yet, our Congress, Paul Ryan, John Boehner, Orrin Hatch, and Mitch McConnell refused to put any kind of currency manipulation fixes in Fast Track and won't put it in TPP either.
Well, you know what this does is what's happening here is you're consolidating more and more power into the executive branch, you know, and that was the whole separation of powers, check and balance thing that the Constitution and the Founding Fathers put into place so that you couldn't have this happening and end up with a dictator who just told everybody what to do and when to do it and how to do it.
Exactly. You know, when we met with the Ways and Means Committee, we were pushing this issue hard with Kurt Clausen, a Republican out of Florida, with Senator Portman, a Republican out of Ohio. We're pushing this issue hard, but Ways and Means told us, well, President Obama says he won't sign Fast Track if currency manipulation's in it. Well, who cares?
Then don't let him sign
it. How about we just do the right thing?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, how hard is that to figure out?
Well, and of course,
somewhere you have to stand on your principles. And, you know, it's not time to chill out. It's not time to take a pill. It's time to people should be upset, mad, informed, foam at the mouth, rabid, and willing to do what it takes to do this. I mean, what we're seeing is the fundamental destruction of our society and our protections, and my children are going to go up in a world that we won't even be able to recognize and either be subservient to the state or criminals to that state. And I'm not okay with it. And what we're watching is the enabling of that, the destruction of my country, and an elected representative who is my employee who is sitting back and telling me that we're just hysterical and we read too much, which makes us ignorant, while he sells us and my kids down the drain, and then getting told that we need to just mellow out about it. And I'm not going to be mellow.
Yep, sorry. Double down.
Double down. We are at a critical juncture in history. And whether we're talking about these trade agreements or any of the other things that Congress is looking at right now, we're at a critical junction where we, the people of the United States, need to decide if we are still a sovereign and free people or if we are simply serfs under the heel of an international global community. Serfdom's not good enough for me. I grew up in a family that were self-employed. Both of my parents had their own businesses. Both of my parents were able to do well because we had freedom and sovereignty. We could own things. No one could take those things away from us. And yet now we're in a situation where the powers that be would like to wash that away because, you know, there's a small middleman and there's a market share to be captured there if you can keep the small business guys out of there. That's not good enough for me. I want my kids to be able to be prosperous. I want my kids to be able to be free. I'm not willing to become a serf.
Yeah, you know, we're going Surf City, here we come. You know, I mean, that's not a good thing. I mean, and you think about that out there, and, you know, not even trying to be funny. It's like these guys, a lot of them don't even understand what a serf is. I mean, you know, they don't understand that slavery to the government ends up in poverty and despair. I mean, that's where we're headed, is poverty and despair. And you know, if you can't take your enough time to pull your head out of whatever bag it's in to figure out what's going on, or listen to your congressman and just believe everything he says and not do your own homework, I mean, yeah, we're done.
We'll all be in poverty and despair together, so we're all equal, and that's good. Right?
No.
No?
No.
Doesn't work that way?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man. There goes about 12 years of public education.
Yeah, I know. You got to throw that public education out the window because, you know, I was a rebel in school, and that's how I got educated, by not following the crowd, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I started educating myself at some point because I didn't believe what they're telling me. You know, how can you sit there and say that, you know, hey, we threw all the tea in the harbor, but you know, here's your first paycheck, and it's 30% of it's gone. It's like, wait a minute, I thought we threw the tea in the harbor. Oh, we did, but it doesn't matter anymore because I need to be on a committee.
You know, there is hope, though, and that's why I say this is a critical juncture. We've got to make noise. We've got to put pressure on candidates. You know, I'm sick of these discussions, whether it's on a presidential candidacy or whether it's on a local candidacy. I'm tired of these discussions, well, you know, who can win, right?
Right.
He doesn't agree with us, and he doesn't vote with us, but he can win. What good does that do you?
Right.
What good does that do you at all? We've got to fight for better candidates.
Yep, I agree.
It's hard work.
Yeah,
you know, we
go
out and door knock.
Well, that's one of the solutions that we talk about. We've had somebody, hey, what are your solutions? Well, number one, don't vote for the freaking bill. Okay, number two, somebody needs to run for Congress against this guy who actually values the Constitution, who's not a political prostitute who gets paid to think and vote for different issues that he doesn't really even, you know, read. I mean, I can't, at this point, find any difference between Pelosi and LaMafia.
No, there's not a whole lot of difference. You know, and people have a tendency to think, I can't make a difference, but that's not true. If you look at Dave Brat in Virginia, he was outmoneyed. Mm-hmm. The big rhinos poured tons of money into his opponent's campaign, but he never gave up. He stood on principles, he fought, and he had a great team of boots on the ground. People were volunteering for his campaign. That man wore the shoe leather off of his shoes, getting out the vote, and a lot of people who did it too. And he won, and he was able to beat the big money machine. You can do that too in your own locality. And then once you do get those guys elected, keep in mind that D.C. kind of has a bubble over it that shields them from reality. And the only way to get their attention once they get up in D.C. is to stay on them.
Right.
Call your local office. Call the D.C. office. Email them. Write them. Fax them. Whatever you have to do, but stay engaged. Tell them what to do.
Yeah, don't let
them
out.
You were running your own business, you would never let your employees just disappear and never talk to them again. These are your employees. Tell them what to do.
Yeah, he you know, it's like if I have an employee that works for me. Oh, he shows, you know, when he shows up, you know, he works really good. He gets the job done, but, you know, he only shows up like on time for, you know, one day a week. So I shouldn't say anything about that because his work's kind of good.
Yeah, you should give him a raise.
Yeah, that's what we should do, is we can give him a raise. So.
Yeah, if you don't give him a raise, you're an evil capitalist.
Okay, we got Billy Bob on the line from Palo Cedro. Are you there, Billy?
Yes. Good morning, guys, and I appreciate your guest's perspective and her energy. And this is what I've been listening to is just absolutely outrageous. And more than that, you guys were talking about what do we do, what do we solve this problem with. Well, I had to call and say that we have awoken the silent majority in this country, and his name is Donald Trump. And from what I'm hearing and with what everybody is saying is that we are going to take, as he puts it, we're going to take our country back. We're going to be winners again. I will handle the Chinese. I will handle this situation. I know how to put America back to work. And we're going to sweep this election in 16 with this man leading the charge. We have a number of great people, candidate-wise. Ben Carson, as far as health, he can be put in as the Secretary of Health. We have all these people. Carly Fiorina, she's awesome. We have an array of Republican candidates, and all we have to do is team up behind Donald Trump, and we will wash these Democrats out of our lives. Okay, great show, you guys.
All right, thanks, Billy Bob.
I will say one thing for Donald Trump is he is forcing the rhinos into the light of day.
Well, and you know something? Any time that you're getting any attack, you're probably on the right road. I'm not completely sold on Trump, but I'll tell you, I asked this question the other day.
He is not a conservative, I don't think.
Well, in some ways, I don't think he is, but I asked the question, okay, if you had a choice between Jeb Bush and Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, which one would you vote for?
I don't know. What's the name of the premier in Canada?
You know, because Strong America is not a PAC, I can't advocate or against any certain candidate. But I will say this. I do find it interesting that we have a cadre of outsiders running this time, not just Donald Trump, but Carly Fiorina. And I think what we need is outsiders.
I agree.
We need fresh voices that aren't part of the system. And we need good, solid negotiators. There's something interesting. I was reading a book the other day about 1906, and it touched on Teddy Roosevelt. One of the interesting things, although I didn't like a lot of his policies, Teddy Roosevelt was interesting because he ran on the premise that I'm so rich, nobody can buy me. I'm not going to be owned by anyone. I'm going to do what I think is right. Teddy Roosevelt, once he took office, enacted one of the biggest nationwide graft hunts on earth. And he made it the primary point of his presidency to get rid of the bribery and the payoffs that were happening at that point in time to get Congress to do the will of very wealthy men, right? So, you know, whether that's Donald Trump, I don't know. You know, whether that's Carly Fiorina, I don't know. But I will say this, we need somebody who is either going to have the money and or the intestinal fortitude to say, I don't care what the big multinational companies want. I don't care what the richest guy in America wants. I want to do what's right for America. And I think that's a really good thing for us right now.
Absolutely.
And he's definitely helping to push the box back towards the right. And, you know, he is doing a lot of things, and he's making a lot of these other candidates take positions where they've been kind of waffling and hiding in the shadows on, and he's making them expose who they are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, a great example of that is Senator Marco Rubio. He took a walk on the day of the TPA vote. Down here in Florida, we call it taking a walk when people don't show up for an important vote. Mm-hmm. They just magically disappear. And Marco Rubio decided on a day, Marco Rubio, and he's my senator, and I like Marco most of the time, but I'm angry with him about this because just last December, Marco Rubio stated that Barack Obama is the worst negotiator in history. And right now on Fox News, Marco Rubio has a slew of commercials out there calling Barack Obama the worst negotiator in history. But Marco Rubio also decided to take a walk the day the TPA vote was taken.
Yeah, he's the worst negotiator on the behalf of the American people. Not so much the worst negotiator if you're trying to unwind and dissolve the experiment called America. I mean, you can't make this many mistakes. He's so stupid, it's not stupid anymore.
If it was just out of ignorance, Barack Obama would have accidentally done something right by now.
Listen, we got to go to a break with that one, Stephanie. We'll go to a break here, and then we'll come back on the other side, and then we'll go to the top of the hour. And again, you're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny when you're near. The rain goes, disappears, dear, and I feel so fine just to know that you are mine. My life is sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. That's how this rain goes, so come on, join in. Everybody, sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is sure to come your way when you're in love.
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality health care is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to lakeshasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit soj51.net. And donate now to show your support.
Having trouble finding cute clothes and accessories in town? Look no further than Dandelion Boutique in our very own downtown Reading. specializing in the hottest brands from Spanx to Alex and Ani, and of course, a huge selection of Brighton jewelry, perfect to make any gift or occasion memorable. So come say hi to the girls of Dandelion at their new spot, 1322 Pine Street, or call 247-1292. Dandelion, unique gifts and more.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business. This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
A reminder, you're listening to an encore presentation of Sovereign Minds, originally aired on July 12th of this year. Now, we continue with what's left of Hour 2. We'll have another Hour of Sovereign Minds coming up after news at the top of the hour here on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Show them.
Yeah. Is that, I mean, I asked Bob to key that up because I'm sure everybody knows the story of the bridge on the River Kwai. You know, you had the officer who thought he was going to show the Japanese that the English could build a much better bridge than the Japanese. And in the meantime, he's kind of committing treason by helping the Japanese build a bridge that is going to have a railroad that's going to, you know, deliver
munitions
and stuff to the troops. And in the process, you know, he tries to circumvent the attempts to blow the bridge up by his own countrymen. So committing treason without understanding what you're doing is still treason nonetheless, even if you don't get it. So I guess if you didn't figure out and read the bill, the effects are still going to be felt whether you understood it or not.
And you're still complicit and liable.
Oh, and by the way, the district office phone number for Congressman LaMalfa is 530-223-5898, and you can call the Washington office at 202-225-3076 and let him know that, please, don't be Alec Guinness in the bridge on the River Kwai.
Yeah, and you might be better off calling the Washington office. Apparently the Reading office has issues with their phones. Apparently, Charter can identify angry constituents and hang up on them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. So, we're back here with Stephanie Scruggs, and I'll tell you, it's been an absolutely delightful couple hours here. We've got, seven, 8 minutes to the top of the hour here with you. And, so let's try to get anything out there that we haven't talked about. I mean, the only other thing I can think of, you know, is that, you know, on the regulation harmonization and the implementation of this thing, giving Congress giving up their power to the international courts, it says that, you know, basically Congress does not get to vote on executive branch regulations. We kind of went over this a little bit, but I want to go over it again. The president simply declares them and enforces them. Now, isn't that the definition of a king?
You're absolutely right. And here's where it gets deadly, and it's connected with something else in the news right now, amnesty.
Yep.
So Barack Obama's already told us he's going to pack whatever he wants and get past whatever he wants. And we all know how Barack Obama feels about illegal immigration and amnesty. So here's what's going on now, and John Boehner is absolutely complicit in this. While you and I were celebrating Independence Day, shooting off fireworks and celebrating our country's birthday, John Boehner was in Ireland, who's party to the TTIP trade agreement, right? And also the TISA trade agreement, two trade agreements that are coming up. And he was promising to a foreign chamber of commerce, the Chamber of Commerce of Ireland, and the chief of Ireland, I can't pronounce the Gaelic title for this guy, but he was the chief. He actually made the statement that he's going to put 218 frogs in a wheelbarrow, Congress, and hold them there until they can pass amnesty. Now, why do they want amnesty? It's all part of these trade agreements. If you look in TISA, and this is how we got Ted Cruz, at Coalition for a Strong America, we got Ted Cruz to change his vote because we were able to show him in the trade agreement how they are harmonizing, which means make the same as, our immigration laws to international standards. And in fact, in TISA, there's a line that says that once those immigrants come in, we're not allowed to deport them.
Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. Well, listen, we have Johnny from San Diego on the line, and he has a question for you, Stephanie. Are you there, Johnny?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing today? I remember when this Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement and all this first was leaked to the American people about. I heard something about some hidden gun restrictions that were in this thing too, and I don't hear much talk about it. I just wanted to see if anybody else heard anything about that.
Are you referring to the Small Arms Treaty?
Perhaps. I forgot it. I think it had something to do with ammunition and other things, too.
I can say that. Based on the chapters of TPP, the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement, that have been leaked so far, I have not seen anything that relates to guns or ammunition in TPP. That said, after meeting with several high-ranking staffers in Congress who pay attention to such things, we have been informed that the Transatlantic Trade Agreement, the other one that covers Europe, that the Europeans are making a number of demands about gun regulations and ammunition. We don't have a copy of TTIP yet, so it's just going on what we've been told by high-ranking staffers. My guess is this, is that they're going to slide TPP through first. And once they cover that hurdle, they'll start going on to the harder ones like TISA and TTIP. And we can likely expect to see the regulations come out of Europe. As you know, Europe's like one big gun-free zone, and they want the whole world to be that way. So that wouldn't be surprising at all. By the way, you can read the leaked chapters of TPP as well as the entire TISA trade agreement on our website, coalitionforastrongamerica.com. We are the only place other than WikiLeaks that is publishing these.
Mm-hmm.
A difference between what we have and WikiLeaks, we have all the same information because we got it from WikiLeaks, but we compiled it into one document, whereas on WikiLeaks you got to go chapter by chapter. But so unlike Congress, because Barack Obama is not allowing Congress to read TISA right now, you can do what Congress can't. You can go to coalitionforastrongamerica.com and actually read the TISA agreement. So in TISA, it's trade and services agreement, and it puts international regulation on almost every single service we have in America. Construction, your chiropractor. It removes all licensing, by the way. So your chiropractor doesn't have to be licensed anymore. He could be from somewhere in Malaysia. Or better yet, your airline mechanic can be from somewhere in Malaysia, doesn't have to be licensed to U.S. standards, and you got to give them a job now because you've already agreed to it in a treaty.
What could go wrong? I mean, also here, now who authored all these bills? You got the TPA, you got the TPP, you got the TSIA. I don't even know how many TTTs you got here. They're all covered with TP as far as I'm concerned. But who was authoring all of these bills and getting them in to be passed as legislation? Do you know that?
Well, we know to some extent. I mean, certainly the other countries have their own negotiators. Our toughest competition in the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement is Japan. And the reason they're beating our butts at negotiation is because instead of having people like Michael Froman, who is Barack Obama's lackey and college buddy, and he's heading up the negotiations, instead of having ideologues do their negotiations, Japan actually has vice presidents of places like Samsung and Nippon Denso and Mitsubishi doing their negotiations. You know, guys who negotiate billion-dollar deals every day for a living.
Right.
And they're up against Barack Obama and Michael Froman.
So, of course, we're
not doing very well in the negotiations.
Listen, we got about a minute left, Stephanie. We really want to thank you for coming on the program. It's been completely enlightening. So you got about a minute here before we get to the top of the hour and they cut us off for the news. But, man, I'll tell you what, it's been great.
It has.
Thank you so much for having me. The one thing that
thanks
you can
everybody.
Do to help us,
thanks,
we do
thanks
this
lot,
out man. Of our own pocket. Go to coalitionforastrongamerica.com. Spread the information we have, and if you can, donate, because we do everything out of our own pocket.
That's the Coalition for America. Oh, I'm sorry, the Coalition for a Strong America.com. The Coalition for a Strong America.com. That's where you can get all the information that we've been talking about today.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
All right. Thanks a lot, Stephanie. We want to have you come back at some point here in the near future soon.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks a lot. You guys have a good day here.
Wow. And as we
Shocking.
Always kind of say, don't take our word. Go read it yourself. Don't take anybody's word. Go to the source document and look at it yourself and decipher it.
Or believe some congressional staffer who...
Yeah, and then stick your head in the sand and go, yay, sports team all day long.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and when you go down to the Starbucks and they say coffee, $36, you can go, everything is awesome, or not. Anyway, we're going to, I guess, go to the top of the hour here at KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
In smoke.
It's just really hazy, really gray. It's just like a really dense fog almost.
Firefighters across the Pacific Northwest are working to protect property from fast-moving wildfires that destroyed multiple homes in eastern Oregon and cut off power in Washington State. A U.S. Army parachute team says one of the two parachutists injured during the Chicago Air and Water Show remains hospitalized in critical condition. A spokeswoman for the Army Golden Knights parachute team tells the Chicago Tribune the parachutist had surgery to relieve pressure in his brain caused by a head injury. The other man was treated for a broken leg. This is SRN News.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women, and now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-280-9595. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective. It's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-280-9595. 800-280-9595. That's 800-280-9595.
A settlement has been reached in a U.S. lawsuit accusing a large Jordan-based bank of sharing responsibility for a wave of Hamas-sanctioned suicide bombings in the early 2000s that left several Americans dead or wounded.
Victims of the attacks or their relatives, an Arab bank, confirmed that a deal had been reached, but they declined to disclose details. The settlement comes 3 days before the damages phase of the case was scheduled to go to trial in federal court in New York City. In a previous trial last year, a jury found Arab Bank liable in the attacks in Israel. The victim sued in 2004, accusing the bank of knowingly helping Hamas fund a death and dismemberment benefit plan for martyrs from the territories. Keith Peters, SRN News.
French authorities say a police officer shot in a government security building outside Paris has non-life-threatening wounds. An Interior Ministry spokesman says the officer surprised the two attackers during his rounds early Sunday. This is SRN News. Iraq's prime minister has cleared the way for a court-martial of military commanders who abandoned their posts in the battle against Islamic State militants for the city of Ramadi.
The fall of Ramadi in May severely damaged the Iraqi government's hopes of building momentum against IS just after the militants had been forced out of Tikrit. The battle for Ramadi, which is the capital of Anbar province to the west of Baghdad, had been going on for more than a year. A sustained barrage of suicide attacks by the jihadists finally convinced its beleaguered defenders that it was a lost cause. They withdrew. An official investigation has said they did so in defiance of orders to stay and fight. Now the Prime Minister has agreed that officers should face a court-martial.
BBC correspondent Sebastian Usher reporting. A published report says AT&T in 2003 was a major player helping the National Security Agency collect data while Verizon and others were still gearing up under a separate program. From Washington, I'm Jeremy House.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And a reminder, you're listening to an encore presentation of Sovereign Minds this morning on AM 1460 KCNR. So if you hear phone numbers, please don't call, at least for the next hour. We originally aired this program on July 12th of this year, so enjoy this encore presentation of Sovereign Minds next on AM 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State, KCNR.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight. Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours
Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire, community radio for the North State. Yeah, green grass and high times forever. Yeah, unbelievable what's going on out there, and just seems like the media just blacks it all out, and we can talk about the Confederate flag instead of, gosh, the fact that we're giving up our sovereignty to foreign countries and nations, and, you know, we're headed for hell in a handbasket. But I'm worried about what, you know, the Dukes of Hazzard's might offend somebody with General Lee.
Well, can somebody explain to me where in the Constitution it says you have a right to not be offended? I'm pretty sure I have a First Amendment right to offend whoever I want, whenever I want.
Well, and it's pretty obviously that you're offensive most of the time. But with that said,
I've practiced a lot.
Yeah, we're kind of cut from the same cloth, I'm assuming. I'm really good at it. But anyway, we got some news stories. I mean, here we can talk about for, we got the rest of the hour here. I want to emphasize that, again, everybody needs to contact their local congressman, Doug LaMafia, at the Washington office at 202-225-3076, and at the Reading office. I don't know, you might want to bypass Reading because they just don't answer the phone because, you know, we're not good enough or smart enough, and by God, you know, there you have it. So, but just in case, 530-223-5898. With that said, let's talk about some of these other news headlines. We've got, you know, this Jade Helm thing, you know, being starting. You know, you say it's already started, but it's effectively scheduled to start on July 15th. We don't know what that means exactly, scheduled to start, because we don't know exactly what they're going to do.
We do to an extent. They're going to perform covert operations and practice working unnoticed within a local population
an operation in hostile territory for martial law. At least that's what the press release from Special Forces
says.
Well,
I don't think there's any question that we're preparing for civil unrest of some sort based on, you know, everything that's been going on in the last couple of years. And, you know, this I got a report here, and this is, I think, what is this? What website? I'm just says Jade Helm. This is Armstrong Economics .com. And the Washington Post has reported that Lieutenant Colonel Mark Lastoria, spokesman for Army Special Operations Command, said his organization is considering allowing a small number of journalists to view selected portions of the exercise later this summer, but nothing is finalized. So, you know, I'm not sure exactly what's going on here, but we know that Texas has come out with a force to monitor the Jade Helm force.
Well, what I find astounding and a little flabbergasting is there's still people out there that are even denying Jade Helm exists.
It's not rocket scientists.
They're not trying to hide it.
Yeah, I mean, they actually admit it. You can figure out that what, you know, that it is the real, and I'm not sure exactly what they're doing, bad or good, but, you know, why doesn't the media cover any of this stuff?
No, there's no mention of it, and, you know, no matter what the objectives or the motives behind it, you would think that the American people would want to be aware of such an operation happening in their backyard.
Just because. I mean, and here's another story. I don't know if it's a related story. This comes from the Las Vegas Sun. Agency requests for 52,000 rounds of ammo for the Hoover Dam prompts inquiry. Now, what does the Bureau of Reclamation want 52,000 rounds of ammunition for to use in law enforcement at the Hoover Dam in Lake Mead?
Piranhas.
What are they going to do, an airstrike on some out-of-control boaters or something?
Well, you ever been down there for spring break, it can get kind of...
Well, there is that. I mean, you might have to kill a few thousand students.
Yeah,
because
a couple drunk teenagers.
Yeah, I mean, they get out of control, things go bad, you know, you need 52,000 rounds of ammunition just in case.
Maybe it's in case Girls Gone Wild shows up.
I don't understand. After learning about the purchase, Nevada Representative Mark Amode vowed to inquire with the Bureau about its operations, number of officers carrying firearms, and how much ammunition is used. I mean, how can they possibly need 52,000 rounds? I can only come up with a couple of reasons. I mean, we've seen these guys before. You got the IRS and other agencies buying this. Oh, they're not getting ready for civil unrest or anything. Either that or what are they trying to do, take the ammunition off the market by buying it up?
Yes, yeah, shrink the ammunition supply. Another thought process is that Hoover Dam is a shelter-in-place location, that if something does happen, it's one of those places that elected officials go to kind of ride out the storm, whatever that may be. I don't know. Like at this point, it's conjecture and theoretical. But the point is why do they need 52,000 rounds of ammunition?
Okay, and the Sun, they did a review, a review of the federal procurement records by the Sun, Las Vegas Sun, shows that the Bureau of Reclamation, best known for its management of western waterways and dams, solicited bids in June for 41,600 rounds of hollow point ammunition along with 10,400 rounds of shotgun ammunition. The agency declined to say how many armed officers worked at the Hoover Dam and how many security threats it faces each year, but according to the 2008 review of federal law enforcement, the Bureau had 21 officers patrolling Hoover Dam. Now, I'm not sure, you know, how many, you know, 21 officers, how many rounds they can use, but 41,600 rounds of hollow point ammunition does not seem to fit into what I would call the normal procedure operation of the Bureau of Reclamation at Hoover Dam. Are they expecting something to happen here? Are they just I mean, what's going on here, and why isn't this get reported in the mainstream news?
Well, for the same reason most things don't get reported in the mainstream news, is they're just polishing the brass on the Titanic.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I got to say, I think this is all about civil unrest at some point, and they're buying up the ammunition either to keep it out of the hands of the people that are unresting, and or they think that they're going to have to control the population somehow. And so, I mean, but I don't know.
Well, that's one of the things that we've been looking in the Southwest, and there was a very kind of quick blip on it in alternative media, and then it kind of disappeared. I've been looking for more information, haven't been able to find any, are the bank closures along the border, the ATM refusals along the border in Mexico, and the currency refusals. You have American banks that are refusing American currency for Mexican national corporations.
I'm telling you, there's something going on. I mean, the Bureau of Reclamation is not the only federal agency who have to have amassed weapons and ammunition or to have faced controversy. In 2013, the Department of Homeland Security put out a bid to purchase more than a billion rounds of ammunition for more than 100,000 law enforcement officials. That same year, agents from the Environmental Protection Agency inspected the offices of a mining company in Alaska while wearing body armor and carrying M16 rifles and shotguns, leading to an investigation by House lawmakers. The most recent order is not the first time the Bureau of Reclamation has purchased large quantities of ammunition. The last requisition was in 2013, according to federal purchasing records. Since 2008, the agency has made at least 19 requests for ammunition in offices nationwide, while Hoover Dam's most recent publicized threat was 2012, when a man drove his truck past a security checkpoint, prompting an hour-long standoff with officials. He was later found to be unarmed.
Well, I don't know. Huh? I'd say there's some questions that need to be answered there.
So they've had one guy drive his truck out past the security point, prompting an hour-long standoff with officials to find out that he was totally unarmed. So, you know, we need 46,000 more rounds because...
Why?
I'm not sure. But there you have it. So, I don't know. Interesting things happening out there. I mean, of course, this is all normal. We should just not pay attention.
Well, another one that's being ignored is the Puerto Rico default.
Well, you got the Puerto Rico default. I was kind of feathering into some of this stuff. You know, you got now we know the New York Stock Exchange stopped down trading this last week, you know, right as the stock market in China was crashing. And we know that Dutch are wanting out of the euro. You know, Greece is defaulting on its debt. None of these things could be interrelated, though, could they?
None of them.
No.
No, yeah. Not at all. You know, and the fact that with the Puerto Rico thing is that'll be an American bailout on that. We, the taxpayers, will be on the hook for that. And one of the interesting things that was going on is knowing that Puerto Rico was going to default, knowing that the debt was bad, you had companies like Goldman Sachs and what was the other big one that I was telling you?
J.P. Morgan or Citibank or HSBC or...
No, it was one of the other ones that... I can't remember it now. But anyways, they you said you used to deal with them.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. These two companies, they upped their portfolio in Puerto Rican debt from like $120 million.
Oh, Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer, thank you.
Yeah.
They upped their debt portfolio from about $140 million to $1.2 billion and from about $200 million to $5 trillion. In Oppenheimer up their portfolio, knowing that Puerto Rico was going to default. Why would you make a business decision like that unless you knew there was going to be a bailout?
Right, or you were shorting on the other side. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense at all. We have a caller on the line from Reading. We got Tim, and he has a question about Jade Helm. Are you there, Tim?
Yes, I am.
You're on the air.
All right, thank you. Well, I have a question. Why are the cities that the Jade Helm projection is on throughout the United States, the locations they picked? I know it seems to me that Stockton, for instance, is one of the cities, and they're broke. So, or they're bankrupt, practically. So is, in fact, the federal government paying these cities to come in with this Jade Helm program to supplement them, let them do their thing? That would be my question.
Well, one of the things you can actually go online and see some of the speeches that have been given at city halls and board of supervisors, things like that, is they're talking about the economic impact to their county because they're going to be operating and purchasing goods and things like that and kind of selling this whole thing as an economic boon. Now, as for Stockton coming under the control of the federal government, you need to be looking at the COPS program,
where if they are receiving funds from the COPS program that was put into place by Bill Clinton originally as part of his Cop on Every Corner program, been expanded by the Obama administration now. Their funding has gone up by like 8 times of what it was. But the kicker is now is any municipality that accepts COPS funds now comes under the direct control, coordination, and authorization of the Federal Department of Justice. Salinas has already been taken over. Cleveland has now been taken over. They're going after San Diego, though San Diego doesn't
Ferguson,
want it. Ferguson, Baltimore. And Stockton is one of 6 target cities that they're beginning this program with. The other ones were like Pittsburgh, Gary, Indiana, Birmingham, Alabama. But it is direct federal seizure of local police forces.
Well, to me that would still kind of comes under the heading of a conspiracy, it sounds like, to some degree. It's too sweeping. And it's too much power given to the federal government on that level.
Well, everything's being consolidated in the executive branch of the federal government at this point. This is exactly, and I'm not saying Obama is Hitler, but this is exactly how Hitler took over Germany, was he just kept taking more and more and more. One of the first things he did was pass health care bill so that he'd get control of everybody's health care.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty similar.
It is very similar. And anybody who's not afraid of the guy in the White House right now and is capable and what he's capable of doing, I think has absolutely got their head in the sand.
In the sand, yeah. Okay, well, you answered my question very well, and I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks very much. Have a good day.
All right, thanks for calling in, Tim.
You know, and that's one of the things that came out this week, and we'll get after on the other side of the break, is a Judicial Watch released documents from the FBI about Valerie Jarrett, the communist.
Yeah, who'd have thought?
Yeah, that's the president's number one advisor comes from a family of dyed-in-the-wool, hardcore mainline communists.
Oh, I know. And I mean, really, what could go wrong? Okay, you got Valerie Jarrett's a communist. You got Obama. His mother and dad were communists. Well, we think his dad was because we're not sure exactly who his dad was because they won't release
him. His mother's.
Yeah, we're not sure. We don't sure of anything about this guy, his college records, everything. But we know his grandparents were communists. His mentor was communist. You know, his idol was Saul Alinsky. Communist. But, of course, nothing could go wrong. Anyway, we got to go to a break. It's about that time. So, KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State, home of the Free Fire. We'll be back on the other side.
Well, it's all. Someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a down the lane.
Well, it's all.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your community talk radio station. On Monday, we welcome Dane Wigginton, leader of the geoengineering movement, Chemtrails. Is it true? What impact is it having on Shasta County and the United States? Also joining us is Terry Pozo with an update of the State of Jefferson movement. All of this on Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, Foreign Affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. V-Cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
It's hot and smoky, and yet they're on the job 24 hours around the clock, protecting our lives, our homes, and our property. From all of us on the China Fire and all the fires in the North State, a huge thank you for all you do. You saved our homes and patrolled our streets, keeping the looters at bay. Although we were without electricity, most of us returned to our homes standing safe, if a little singed. To our firefighters and our police force, thank you seems so trivial. We are sincerely indebted to you.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Sovereign Minds on AM 1460, originally aired on July 12th of this year. Stay tuned. A brand new We the People coming your way at noon today on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460 KCNR. And now back to Hour 3. Now back to Hour 3 of Sovereign Minds.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they were born. Straightening the curve. Flapping the hills.
Hey, you gotta get to the good part.
Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will.
Here we go.
Making their way.
Can't sing with the crap, but I like that part.
That's just a little bit more than the law will allow. Just a good old.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio. Need to take some singing lessons. Or not. Maybe just shut up. But we don't do that very well here either, so here we are. We're back. Let's worry about the Confederate flag instead of all these other issues. You know, I just sent Bob a clip on some gun control stuff. We got this. Now, we know that the gal that was shot down in San Francisco, by an illegal alien. Now, we know that the gun was...
Multiply deported illegal alien.
We know that the gun... was came from a federal agent somehow, got stolen or something like that. But did everybody know that two news crews were robbed at gunpoint during a live broadcast in San Francisco about this? A masked man sneaks up behind these guys who were reporting on the woman who was killed earlier and robs the reporters for KTVU and KNTV. As they prepared to do live reports on the Embarcadero about the woman that was killed the day earlier.
You can't make this stuff up.
It's like unbelievable. With that, we've got David in San Francisco. Are you there, Dave?
Oh, sure am. Yeah, I've been kind of following this with interest because, as you probably know, the gun was a federal officer's gun, and the local cops hadn't done anything to hunt it down, right? And it was straight for the first few days. The feds were refusing to disclose even what department the gun belonged to, so it kind of had a fast and furious feel to it. That somehow or another, a gun can be lost in San Francisco and then be used. But this story, I don't know if you've seen. There's an actual 40-minute interview with the suspect. And
well,
it's on
yet.
Channel 7, and so if you look for Channel 7 footage of, I've forgotten his name, but just look for this 40-minute interview. And I can't even, I mean, I think my language skills are good, but I can't figure out what he's talking about. And I'm not sure if, you know, there's some point in there where they ask him directly, did you kill her? And he said, yes. And then he said, you know, seconds later, he says, no. So it's as if he doesn't know the questions. They get a translator. The translator's doing a half-assed job. And
where's his attorney? I mean, he lawyers.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. A 40-minute interview? Yeah. Much less that this guy is, he doesn't come across as a, you know, heinous, murderous, you know, Medellin cartel kind of guy. He comes across as one of the simplest, in fact, they say he's only got a second grade education. And, you know, he does a lot of mumbling and kind of a, I'm not sure they've got the right guy. And the fact that it's sort of a fast and furious missing fed gun, you got to wonder whether or not, you know, something else happened.
You never know. I wouldn't put anything past the feds at this point, but I guess it kind of dispels the myth that guns are only safe in the hands of the federal and state and local governments.
Maybe it was Leland Yee and Shrimp Boy.
Well, the thing that I've gotten, you know, out of this whole thing, I listen to a lot of shows all around the country. I try to listen to the local ones, as a matter of fact. And so in going through around the country, there's a concerted effort to go after our sanctuary city. And the idea that, you know, we've got St. Francis, right? And you look at St. Francis, and he's supposed to be the saint of immigrants as well as animals. And travelers, I think it's animals, travelers, and the homeless, and things like that. So St. Francis, we end up with a sanctuary city 20, 30 years ago when Oliver North had all of his death squads down there in El Salvador, and so we honestly needed a sanctuary city. They were killing people down there. Reagan was laughing about it, and he was spending billions of dollars to make sure nobody could escape from El Salvador. Right, he didn't want people escaping from Honduras. He didn't want people escaping from Nicaragua or anywhere else and telling us, the taxpayers, what was really going on. So we were one of the few cities in America that had the guts to come up with a sanctuary city, you know, fighting Reagan and his big murderous liars. And those guys they've got a concerted effort right now to go after our sanctuary city.
Well, what you're saying though is that the sanctuary city should still be in place in light of everything that's going on right now. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding with Boko Haram and ISIS and all of these other places? Absolutely. So
how do you tell the difference between the Boko Haram and ISIS and the guys that are coming over from the good guys if you don't have any way of screening them?
Well, you know, America was strong for 230 years or something before 9/11 because we encouraged the courageous to come here.
That doesn't answer the question, Dave. I agree that we need immigration. What I agree with, though, is that we need to have immigration that's controlled so it protects our sovereignty and the people of the United States. I think the whole 9/11 conspiracy thing was blown way out of proportion to take our rights away from us, but
sure.
We can't have open borders where people just come in anytime they feel like it because they don't value the same things we do. You know, look at the case in point on the Embarcadero killing this girl. We don't know who did it. I'm not trying to try the case. But then the news crew, the two news crews that were reporting on it get robbed at gunpoint the next day. I mean.
Well, and I'm taking that to be somebody didn't want those news crews looking at certain things. I think they went after them for their footage. You know, they never got the footage back, right?
I don't know.
As far as I understand, they've never found the cameras and they've never gotten the footage back. So if you think about it, I actually haven't gone down to that.
Dave, are you trying to imply that this is some kind of right-wing plot to overcome the sanctuary cities and that this act was committed by someone intentionally to give them leverage to attack the sanctuary city?
Well, your expression right-wing, I'm beyond right-wing, left-wing at the point. I think that organized crime loves smuggling. Organized crime has gotten into Homeland Security. Organized crime had to do with Fast and Furious. Organized crime has to do with a huge amount of the money laundering of the subprime loans. You know, we're dealing with organized crime has gotten so deep into the FBI and the CIA and various institutions in America that they're too big to fail.
Well,
and that's why we're hearing.
My next question then would be, who's organized crime? Who's controlling it?
Well, you know, whether it's Big Tony or I've just been reading, you know, how the Vatican got taken over by them back in the 80s. You know, the organized crime, if you look at Citibank and Citicorp and UBS, that's a big Swiss bank, and you Credit Suisse First Boston, these people are somewhere in between organized crime and Nazis.
I totally agree with you, Dave, on that aspect of it, but I'm not sure how that relates to having a sanctuary city where you don't screen out, I mean, anybody that comes in. I mean, I understand the concept of a sanctuary city, and that's great, okay? You need to protect people that are on the run from their own government, that are refugees or death squads or whatever, but you can't do it so that there is no screening at all, so you have no idea who's coming there.
Well, I trust people more than it sounds like you trust them. And I don't necessarily, when you see things like the honest whistleblowers at the airports and the honest whistleblowers at the border, and they are the ones that get killed, and they're the ones that get, told to keep their mouths shut.
But trusting people has nothing to do with. I don't trust the government, and the governments on both sides of that aisle, whether it's the city, county, state, or federal, are the ones that are not doing their job by screening out these people and keeping everybody safe. I mean, that's really the question here. It's not a matter of, you know, sanctuary city as much as using common sense to
one of the things I'd like to point back, going back to the beginning of this conversation. Oliver North's death squads, as you put them, were down there fighting communists and Sandinistas.
No, they weren't. They were fighting to keep sweatshops going. You remember NAFTA had already happened.
Dave, are you going to tell me that there was not a concerted effort from the then Soviet Union to fund and supply and weaponize in Nicaragua and Honduras, that there was no such thing as the Sandinistas?
Nicaragua, Honduras are two different countries. Nicaragua, they had an election that Ronald Reagan was terrified about because I think the guy was a socialist. And they had agreed to do trade with the Soviet Union. But Honduras was a completely different country. They were a death squads. They were, in fact, a right-wing so-called Christian down there. And what did they lose, 100,000 people in Honduras? So Honduras and El Salvador was the same thing, already right-wing death squads in there. Let's see, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Honduras, and thinking of the third, well, there was a fourth one also. There was a fourth country where they lost 50,000 or more people to death squads down there. But big money, you know, when you start having a factory owner down there that can rape the women on the assembly line and make sure that everybody eats beans and is living in total fear down there, that doesn't make America look good if we send in the Marines to protect that guy and anybody that's trying to get 14 cents more a day is considered a commie. No.
Well, you know, that's completely turning everything upside down.
No, that's what happened.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
Coca-Cola killed 50 different union representatives in El Salvador alone. I mean, Coca-Cola, when you looked at anybody that tried to run for president of their local union, bam, he was dead in days.
Well, let's get back to the sanctuary city here, okay? How does that relate to the sanctuary city? How can you not advocate for some screening process to make sure that people aren't diseased, that people aren't radical, whatever, left or right, guys that want to kill people, or, you know, how do you do that if you're just going to have an open city where anybody can go in, can't be deported, they don't give them to, you know, I mean, this guy was deported like six times and nobody did anything, and the sheriff there has got, you know, something wrong with him when, you know, this guy's a felon and you just let him go.
Well, first of all, I'd recommend that you look for this Channel 7 footage, because you realize that what you've laid out, apparently, according to the sheriff, this guy was only a felon because he didn't show up in court for a couple of pot busts. You know, he was caught with a pipe or a pot, you know, a joint or something like that. They were marijuana busts. He didn't show up in court, and that turns into contempt of court, which is a felony. So this guy, and when you look at it, he looks like a cartoon stoner.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look like some mass murderer.
Well, listen, Dave, we're running out of time. We got another guy on the line. And I don't think we're going to agree on this one, but, hey, we appreciate your call.
All right. Keep in touch.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Okay, I think we got Russ on the line from Reading.
Hey, we appreciate your call. All right.
Oh, there you are. Are you there, Russ?
I am here.
Okay, you're on the air.
Thank you. First of all, I'm sorry I caught the middle of the discussion, but this gentleman sounds like a libtard Harvard social community organizer to me. I don't know what his background was, but I'm former law enforcement and former military, and he's talking about organized crime. Well, it's not organized crime. It's the Saul Alinsky model that's taken over our country.
Yeah, you know, I guess you could call that organized crime, Rush, because, Russ, because, you know, I think that, you know, that at the government higher levels, that's what it is. I mean, when they're circumventing the Constitution, maybe it's not, you know, the Vita Genoveses or the Lucky Lucianos. It's a different cut of politician, you know, that's infiltrated. So I guess, you know, we could get stuck on that definition of organized crime, but, you know, they're definitely organized and they're definitely criminals.
Right. Well, I think he should be, you know, on the city or county board because he'd fit right in. And that's all I have to say, guys.
Thanks a lot, Russ. We appreciate the comment. Go ahead and play that clip on the Maine allowing gun owners to carry concealed weapons. It's about a minute. We'll come back. We're getting close to a break, and, you know, we only got about 15 minutes left. So go ahead and play it, Bob.
The state of Maine will allow gun owners to carry concealed weapons without a permit, a practice called constitutional carry by Second Amendment advocates under a bill signed into law on Wednesday by Republican Governor Paul LePage. The measure will make Maine the fifth state to pass a law legalizing the carrying of a handgun, either openly or concealed, without the requirement of a government permit. Maine joins Alaska, Arizona, Wyoming, and Kansas in voting to allow the practice, according to the National Rifle Association. Vermont has never required a permit. Arkansas and Montana also allow more limited forms of constitutional carry. The Maine law will take effect 90 days after the state's legislature adjourns, which is expected in mid-July.
Well, there you have it. So I guess in Maine, it's constitutional carry now, and well, I don't see a problem with that. I mean, we'll see. Is the crime rate going to skyrocket in Maine now?
No. Probably decline.
Probably decline because everybody knows everybody's armed, and you don't mess around with people who are armed. Anyway, I had to play that because it seems to be not getting a lot of play out there in the media. The other thing I want to talk about towards the last segment here is the financial crisis that does everybody think we're in recovery still? I mean, geez.
Well, the Federal Reserve does. We've been in recovery for 6 years when the recession ended.
Yeah, and how did the recession end? Because the stock market started going up, and that's the indicator of all things in recovery, right?
Yeah, everything's good.
Everything is sunshine and lollipops. So, you know, with that said, how come the, you know, we got the New York Stock Market Exchange that shut down for about 3 hours or so on during this last week, and on Wednesday. And at the same time, we had the Chinese stock market crashing.
Yeah, I think they lost about $6 trillion in value.
Yeah, over the last month, I think we're up like 25% of the Chinese stock market has crashed. We got, you know,
small market correction.
A small market correction, yeah. That would be it. I think we're into a 40-60% correction myself here, or better. And, you know, I guess we'll find out when that comes, but, or not.
But, you know, the crisis isn't over. It's just begun. You know, we're in the eye of the storm a little bit here, but we're Greece times 10. And I think that when you got Puerto Rico starting to default on their bonds, there's a lot of bondholders in the United States. 70% is held by the United States. This contagion is not over. You know, you've got major buyers stockpiling gold and silver, and that continues to surge. You got the U.S. Mint ran out of silver and had a shortage this last week. They won't reopen and selling U.S. Eagles until August.
Well, the genie's out of the bottle with Greece. You know, the question is where is it going to land next? You know, a lot of people are looking at Georgia because Georgia's economy is so heavily dependent on Greece. How can it not contagion out into Georgia with Greece falling on its face?
Well, you know, so we got some hard times ahead of us, I think, you know, I think is what's going to happen here. And I've been saying this for a long time, and, you know, it's starting to come to fruition. And, you know, I guess people won't believe it till it actually happens here. When you talk about the dismantling of the trade agreements of our economy, you talk about all of this stuff, the manipulation of the currency, the printing of the money, the debt, all stacking up. Can you spell civil unrest and crisis?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you got guys buying up ammunition. You know, if you can't see the writing on the wall at this point, I don't know what to tell you. You know, this is what, you know, we are going to be at a crossroads at some point. There's going to be a fork in the road. Which way do you want to go? Do you want to keep going down socialism, government control, redistribution of the wealth, or are we going to start heading back towards freedom? I think that the story hasn't been written yet. I think that it's still the balance is still hanging as to which way we go.
Well, you look at one of the things that brought the beginning of our nation to fruition, and that was the Great Awakening. And I think we're kind of starting to see the tremors of that. People are waking up. People are becoming conscious of what's going on. They're becoming, and not so much just conscious of it, people are finally beginning to get active about it. They're finally beginning to stand up and do something about it. So you can see it starting to swing back the other way. The question is it going to be enough fast enough? And I don't know. A lot of times I kind of think we're past the point of return of this being handled civilly.
Yeah, it's going to crash. It's just no matter which day. And if you're out there and you're not aware and if you have any money and you're keeping it in the banks, at this point, I just think that you're crazy, especially the bigger banks, because we're seeing bank runs and we're going to see more and more of these bank runs because they're insolvent. You know, the bond crisis is directly related to the central banks, the governments. And so we know what's coming. It's just how fast does it get here? And, you know, we're in worse shape than Greece from a financial standpoint. So what are the solutions? Well, you know, quit voting for trade agreements, number one, that aren't in the best interest of the American people and the Constitution. That would be a start. You know, we tell, oh, what's your solution? Could you do better if you were in Congress? Yeah, we wouldn't vote for these stupid things that get rid of our sovereignty.
Yeah.
And I would say that you would be withdrawing your savings if you can from your retirements and out of the bank and at least get 10 to 20% in some precious metals. I would be storing
hard
food,
assets.
Some hard assets. I'd be storing food, and I would be getting ready to buckle down. If nothing happens, then you are prepared for any emergency that could come down the pipe. But you're not going to have time to prepare as this thing develops if you're not already prepared, because it could go fairly quickly. You know, we've been winding down pretty slowly, but we'll find out.
Yeah, there is a lot coming, and you know, if you look at the economic model and you talk to people, it's no longer sustainable. And unfortunately, we could have taken it on the chin 8 years ago and let the system kind of fall on its face, and we would be coming out of that now. We would be leaner, we'd be meaner, we'd be stronger, but the can has been continually kicked down the road on our financial system, and now the coming collapse is going to be so big, I don't know how we find our way out of it. I'm confident that we will, because we're Americans and we always find a way, but it's going to be a lot worse than if we had just dealt with the elephant in the room.
Well, I think you're going to see more volatility as time goes on, and you're going to see more and more glitches in the system, more and more glitches. I mean, that's what this was. It was a computer glitch that caused this. Well, I predict we're going to have a lot more glitches here pretty soon. So, I don't know. Should we go to a break and hit the last break, and then we only got about 10 minutes left, and we'll go from there. KCNR 1460.com, home of the Free Fire Media. You
America? Something to see, baby. Ain't that America? Home on the free, yeah. Little pink houses for you and me.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundy?
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. Centrally located in Memphis, Tennessee, GI Pathology delivers results to its nationwide client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to gipath.com. For more information,
you're listening to an encore presentation of Sovereign Minds, originally aired on July 12th of this year. Stay tuned, We the People coming your way after the news at noon here on AM 1460 KCNR.
National news with a local view, KCNR 1460 AM.
Radio, home of the Free Fire Community Radio for the North State, where we tell the truth and put parties below principles.
Oh, there's an idea.
Yeah. This just in from the Mises Institute. Surprise, surprise. Greek banks to remain closed.
No.
Yeah. Evidently, they're going to run out of cash by probably this next week. And so they're going to remain closed. And you can pull out your 60 euros out of your ATMs and... you know, but they only have enough cash to last to the middle of this next week, so that would be like Wednesday or Thursday.
Is that bad?
Yeah, I guess, you know, the capital controls that have been implemented and the fractional reserve banking system, you know, that has been brought to its knees.
What do you need cash for? You just use your debit card, right?
No, that doesn't really work either. And, you know, nobody's taking credit cards, and people's savings are all locked up. And what could go wrong? I mean, could they bail in and steal all the money? I think they already did.
Yeah, probably. It's already gone.
Yeah. So, beware. It could happen here. It's going to happen here, in my opinion. So, with that, let's move on to... Gosh, you know, I got no gripe against the Catholic Church here, but when I see headlines like this, I just groan. One of the most Catholic nations answers the Pope's call on climate change. So we've got the Pope, you know, basically saying that, you know, climate change is, you know, what Obama say is the most pressing issue of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at what's going on. Are you kidding me?
That's like over Lent, the Pope told the Catholics of the world, well, you need to be praying about climate change. And capitalism is evil, and we need a one world bank under the Vatican to redistribute the wealth for everybody.
Well, okay, with that said, here's the other story from RT. Communist crucifix for Pope Francis, who at capitalism on Bolivian tour. And it shows a picture of Bolivia's president, Evo Morales, presents a wooden hammer and sickle with a figure of a crucified Christ resting on the hammer as a gift to Pope Francis at the presidential palace in La Paz on July 8th, 2015. I'm looking right at it. You can't make it up. So you've got a pope here that says that has urged the people of Latin America to stand up to the world's capitalistic system and change the world economic order by creating a truly communitarian economy based on distribution of all of goods among all. Doesn't that sound eerily like President Obama?
Well,
redistribution of the wealth.
The enemy does enjoy his blasphemy.
I mean, kind of sounds a little like Stalin. I see Bob's over there. He can hardly contain himself. I know he has something to say, but no, he's shaking his head no. But how could, what? I mean, I'm looking at a picture where this guy is presenting the Pope with a hammer and a sickle crucifix.
Yeah.
What? I mean, I thought the Pope was supposed to be a Christian, not a...
Well, you could get into the age-old Protestant-Catholic debate over who's a Christian and who's not. That may be re-arising, because what it seems to be that these globalists are very good at doing is repolarizing us into arguments that should have been settled a long, long time ago.
I find this to be sickening myself. I'm looking at a hammer and a sickle with Jesus nailed to it.
Well, is it even any more sickening than a gay pride parade where six guys in leather dry hump each other around a guy strapped to a cross? What does that have to do with gay pride? That's not gay pride. That's perversion.
I got to get that one out. Stop. I got to get that one out of my head, because what you just described, I don't want there. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's
just as perverted.
Pretty running neck and neck there on that one. I don't even want to think about that. I get chills thinking about that. Yeah, moving right along. Let's talk economics or something.
Because, yeah.
I don't know. I just had to bring that up because I find that absolutely off the charts, freaking unreal.
Well, I mean, then it becomes up to the people, as it always is do the Catholics stand for it and tolerate it?
I am wondering the same thing myself.
You know, but you'll find a great variance in a lot of those different things, and it's going to be an interesting question in interesting times.
Interesting. Well, that's the old Confucius curse. May you live in interesting times. It wasn't just a saying, it was a curse, and I think we're living in the most interesting of times.
Well, that wouldn't be the first time the Catholic Church has split itself either. You've got the Orthodox and the Holy Roman split. You've got the Church of England split. You've got the Protestant Reformation movement. It's not the first time that the Pope has gotten out of control and the Catholic Church has spun something off.
Well, there you have it. So I don't know how many minutes we got left. A couple minutes here, Bob? 2 minutes? Well, have we got anything we want to talk about left? I mean, we want to talk about that the Tea Party Monday night is going to have Tim Pappas there teaching mm-hmm. about the Constitution. What about State of Jefferson? Anything we want to mention?
State of Jefferson will be having a meeting and a breakout Monday night. Everybody's welcome to come. If you're involved, you need to be there. If you're not involved, you're curious, you want to get involved, come on down. That is the place to do it. Things are going very well in a lot of the counties, as we were talking about in Jefferson's State of Mind earlier this morning. Trinity County has put us on the agenda for a vote. We don't have a date yet, but we are agendized to go for a vote, and whether they'll decide yay, nay, or put it on the ballot, or whatever means of the process that they wish to take. Sierra County is at or over the limit for registered voters required to take a direct declaration of the people in. We're expecting El Dorado very soon. Plumas County continues to grind along. Things are positive in Plumas. It's just a grind. Apparently, they enjoy their bureaucratic system over there quite a bit. But things are going good, and there's a lot of people that'll be coming home from the Liberty Tour this weekend. They had Chris Ann Hall and Mark Baird, Scott Bennett, Debbie Bacigalupi. A fantastic lineup for people that want to go and learn the foundation of what they need and the tools.
Well, you can go to ShastaLantern.com also and learn about all this stuff. And things are happening, things are moving, and people are getting things done. So with that said, you were born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties.
Working with my hands. Oh,
stay tuned for We the People on KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. A doctor says at least 17 civilians have been killed in a suicide car bombing near a U.S. base in eastern Afghanistan. The deputy police chief in Khost province says that the attack happened near Camp Chapman, which still houses U.S. forces. NATO said only that it was aware of an explosion there in Khost.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding. It's 12 noon.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Republican presidential hopeful Mike Huckabee heads to Israel this week to raise money and meet with officials to discuss the Obama administration's nuclear deal with Iran. The former Arkansas governor announced his trip on CNN's State of the Union, but did not say which officials he expects to meet with. Huckabee opposes the Iran deal, saying that it would essentially arm a terrorist state. A plane crash that killed one person, injured another in New York, has also disrupted rail travel on a busy commuter railroad. Hicksville Fire Department Assistant Chief Richard Diaz says that the plane crashed onto the railroad tracks on Long Island.
One of the wings hit the warning light and tore the wing off. That landed on South Oyster Bay Road, and then the plane went like maybe 25 feet east of that and landed on the railroad tracks. And it was on fire when we got to the scene.
Officials say that the track will be inspected for damage once the plane wreckage is removed. Also, that's RNNews.com. Winds, droughts, and